Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and this is Thursday, June 3rd, 2010, and this is the Christigenia Euro Fellowship call. Hello, everybody.
Hello, June.
And hello, East Maryland, whoever you are. I don't know if you're just calling to listen or if you want to participate, but you're unmuted. And hello to you, Teffy. Where's Sussex man today?
I've got his apologies because he had another appointment for this evening, and if he's home in time, he might catch up with you later. But
okay,
he had to go
to
London to a meeting.
That's fine. I mean, he has a life too, and that's the way it is. Sometimes there's conflict.
Yes, well.
I'm glad to see you're here. And today I'm going to be on the Patriot Dames on Talk Shoot tonight at 8 p.m.
Oh, good.
I have no idea what to expect, so it might be interesting. But they have been looking at my website stuff. So they may have, formulated a plan or questions or whatever. I'm sure they have because they do this all the time. So it might
be a great opportunity.
Yeah. The archive will be on Christigenia tomorrow morning.
Right, I should look out for it.
However it goes, it'll be there.
Yeah.
And did you say that was on Talk Show?
Yes, it'll be on Talk Show.
Right.
And
okay.
Who is not? Well, June, I know your situation, but Bavari, man, what's up with your getting on that Christigenia.net server?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a bit in problems about it, not because of the server. Not at all, but the problem is it has to be installed. In the last 4 days, I was off duty here, and it didn't see or spoke to my friend in the Netherlands, who has been busy the last few weeks. There was a lot of other things, so he couldn't install it, neither that he wanted to install it, but I wasn't there. I was up north here in Germany. It's all a bit in delay, but it will come in. It's the planning to come in, so I'll do it. Yeah, that's what it is. But I was in up north for a funeral activity of the eldest family member who passed away in Leipzig. And so I had to go up there and have very few days, very interesting days. But the first day, that was on past Monday, I went up and I went to Colditz. That's what I wanted to see again, the Camp Colditz, the Castle Colditz, etc., and how it is to be changed and repaired in today's times. And it's very, very interesting. But most people here in Germany don't know what it is about, but if you're asking German, Dutchies or English or French people, they all know what Camp Colditz is. That's the idea. But it was an interesting time anyway. Yeah.
Great. I have that Walter in Philadelphia had sent me that book from Senstius, that Paul Senstius book, that Die Stammen der Germanen, whatever it is, the Germans and the Israelites. I can't remember the title. Die Stamm or Stamme der Israeliten und Germanen. And I'm going to scan that this week, and that will be... That will be available online on Christigenia in JPEG format this week.
Well, that's a good idea.
I'm going to scan it into JPEGs and post it online. And
okay.
There's several people that are going to be able to translate it. There are several people who are volunteer. And you may also, Matthew, but I also have one other person that seriously wants to take a stab at it also. So maybe we can compare notes or whatever when you are done or get together or whatever.
Maybe my
Monday night program, I'll discuss that further because he would be there. He can't make it here during the day.
Are you sure? It has to work. Understandable. Yeah. Okay.
So that's,
let's see what's going to happen.
I flipped through some pages and yeah, you know, I don't really read German, but I could make some words out. And he right. definitely finds the, yeah, you know, the dispersion of Israelite in the German people, and he makes that assertion. It seems to me like it might be a challenge to the British Israel people who were trying to call the Germans Huns. I don't know. You know, I can't. It seems to me that maybe that's why he wrote it, but I can't really tell. But it looks good, and I'd really like to read it.
Yeah. Because you know, all these German people, I don't know, strange Germans, of whom you would say, oh, he is definitely an Assyrian or so. Such nonsense. They are all just like the rest of the tribes of Israel. Just blonde hair, blue eyes. Nothing strange.
How many pages are there, Ben?
It's only 48 pages, but it looks like a good book.
Yeah.
Mm.
It really doesn't. And I hope to, well, I had hoped to have it online already, but I've been too busy with the gardening and other stuff and distractions. And today it was the dog that took my whole morning up. It will be online this week. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I look forward to hearing to seeing the translation, because the German means nothing to me. I mean, the German people that I've met, but the language, not very good at that.
If Matthew, I don't know how you want to translate it, but you're welcome to do it right online, and I could set up that technology if you desire. That's something to think about. I mean, I wouldn't expect that from you right now, but I could set up just about it.
Yeah, we can try it. To see what it is, how it could be. We can give it a try.
Well, I mean, people might like to see that progress be made on it here and there. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I'll try to, I'll try to make the pages as clean as possible when I scan them, and I'll run them through my OCR program, but I'll also supply the pictures. I got a pretty decent OCR program that came with my scanner. I mean, it's Hewlett Packard. It actually does a pretty good job on a lot of things. It surprises me. I don't know how it's going to do with the umlauts and stuff like that. Some of the other, there might be some of those other funny letters in there. I mean, the Germans do have some funny letters. Different letters from the English.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's standard.
Well, what's that? It looks like almost like a B, but it's a double S sound or something like that.
That's the double S. It's the famous double S.
Yeah, that's
a
little strange.
Like the B. Yeah, that's the sharp S. It's still to be used, and in today's times, it's going to be less and less. They want to get rid of it, and they just translate it in the way as a double S. That's clean enough. In the old books and old writings, it's always that strange B.
Right. Walter says there's a lot of
Hebrew. Almost beta.
There's a lot of Hebrew words in this, too, and there's some Greek words. Now if you want, I could probably translate the Hebrew into Greek words. That's why if we did it online, we could probably maybe even collaborate on it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be done. Yeah. We can give it a try. Yeah,
that might, something like that might work. I might set it up next week. That'd be cool, actually.
Yeah.
And then that other fellow that offered to translate it, maybe I could set him up, too.
Yeah, why not? You are always knowing a bit more than only one. It's the normal case. we can try it. Hell, why not?
Yeah, it would only take a couple hours to set up a site just for translating that. It might be cool. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's always worth it. You never know what it learns and how it brings and whatever it is. I hope so. Be careful for the water tank here beside me. So let's turn it away. Otherwise, I'm getting wet. feet. So, now, so, well, there are some morning of these peculiar things to do. Yeah, I even had it in a strange thing was that to me, that when I was there in the, in Colditch in the castle, they were having a round trip was a couple from the Netherlands, and they were hardly capable of understanding the German language. I was amazed. I wonder what they were.
Why did they have such a hard time? I thought most of the words were actually in common. I thought maybe 80% of the language was the same. That might be my own American ignorance, though.
I think Matthew's gone.
Well, yeah, right. It sounds like he's still there on the screen, but he might
be there.
He's back.
I am still there, and my screen is still saying I'm there. Yeah. I didn't see you changing here. Maybe the change. Maybe I was taken away by the others, but I'm still there. Yeah. Or, yeah, it could be that the signal is breaking up because of the quality of the internet connection. That is always possible here, yeah. That is famous here. Yeah.
Well, we
so far, so good.
Seeing, I mean, it's no thanks to me, believe me, but we are seeing progress on the new Ensign site. And Pilgrim has been posting pages, and I'm looking at them now, and I mean, they look good. She has Morgan's History of Britain from the Flood to 700 AD up, and
uh-huh.
She has Approaching the End of the Age by Guineas, Israel Truth by Martin. She's actually done a lot of work on it, it looks like. The History of the Jews in England by Roth, The Ugly
All
Truth
right.
About the ADL. Well, I think I put that up.
Right. It's very good of her.
She has the Illuminati interview with an ex-programmer. Illuminati interview with ex-programmer part two. I'll probably combine them into one menu entry. But, yeah, she's doing real good. And
it's going to be an enormous site, isn't it?
Yes, and because it's going to be an enormous site, I have it set up for size and not for speed. And I try to... Yeah, with that globe on there, the page loads were close to 30 seconds. And Pilgrim even complained about that because she has to post all the documents. So I put the flat map on there instead of the globe. There's a flat map all the way at the bottom.
Right.
Now, you could get to the globe. I put a big copy of the globe, I think. I'm double checking myself right now on the about page. If it's not there already, it will be. But the page loads are down to about 13 seconds.
Oh, well, that's acceptable, isn't it?
It's barely acceptable. I'm not entirely happy with it. But, you know, it's the only way I could really get around the size limitation at my hosting company.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's... It's a trade-off. It's one way or the other, you know. And this is going to be a really large site once all the documents are posted. And so I can't put up with any size limitations, so I have to make a speed sacrifice. It's the only way I can do it right now. Until I upgrade Christigenia to a server. And that's inevitable this year. I mean, it's going to have to be done. And once I upgrade Christigenia to a server... It's I'm going to have no limitations, and I'm going to have speed and size, but it's an expensive and very time-consuming proposition.
You mean time-consuming in order to set it up?
Well, right. It's going to take me weeks to set it up, and it's not only that it's going to take me weeks to set it up, but it's like $100 a month for a server compared to $10 a month for shared hosting. Yeah, you know, so it's a big expense.
Yeah.
Is it more protected that way?
Well, you know, it's as protected as I need it to be protected. I mean, I've been, you know, we're pretty security conscious. I have Boxar helps me with a lot of my Linux work. And there's another fellow. The other fellow, he's really been a great help. And It's well, we have a few differences theologically. He is the ADL most wanted person that's been arguing with me about the deity of Christ for a year, right? But he's actually done a lot of help on the Christogenia.net server, and I owe him a debt of gratitude for that. He's actually, yeah, you know, he's a real good guy, even though we have some theological differences, and hopefully someday I'll be able to finally convince him and win him over. But that's the way it is, you know. But those two gentlemen have been helping me a lot with security and Linux administration and things like that, because that could be a full-time job in itself. Yeah, you know, and the Christogenia.net server, it's it's pretty secure, and my MySQL databases, I have no concern for them. They're pretty secure, and Christogenia itself is locked up tight. I mean, you can never say never, but Christogenia has about as much chance of getting hacked as any large Fortune 500 corporation sites are.
Oh, right.
Because the software that I use is cutting edge software.
Yeah.
And I keep backups and I believe in redundancy, and I actually have 3 or 4 backups of all my sites.
Yeah.
And it's locked up pretty tight.
Yeah.
So I mean, if they could hack GM or Citibank or something, then they could hack me. You know, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's in today's times. Yeah.
And open source software is very secure because there's a whole community of people who take pride in being able to break it. Yeah, you know what I mean? In the open source, all these pimply faced kids that have nothing but time to sit home and hack people's computers, right?
Right.
And they take pride in that ability. So there's just as many pimply faced, 17-year-olds that sit at their computers all day that take pride in defending against it. You know, that's the open source. They're not all teenagers, but a lot of them are career IT people with security minded jobs in the industry, and that they take pride in hobbying in this with this open source software at night. And I mean, that's, you know, it's meant to be secure.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had a problem yet. And my, for instance, ProThink, he uses WordPress, and WordPress is constantly. In fact, speak of the devil, here he is. And WordPress is constantly under attack because people that are able to break WordPress, you know, they look for bragging rights to break these software packages. Yeah, you know, so it's all it's a constant competition between the geeks and the hackers. You know, that's the way it is.
Well, I hope ProThink can change over then at some appropriate point.
Well, right. I mean, WordPress is nice, but I use Drupal, and I think Drupal's a lot tighter. And a lot, it has a lot more capability. Even though ProThink has a lot of. Yeah, you know, there's people that write a lot of toys for it, but Drupal is a lot more versatile, I believe. WordPress is they write a lot of toys for WordPress, plugins and add-on programs and things.
And how's TeamSpeak working out now?
Well, the TeamSpeak server is working great. We had a very successful week with it. We had a very successful Christogenia Open Forum program on Monday. There were probably 25 or 26 people on it at one time.
And we
had a very good Christaleos fellowship call on it Tuesday, and there were about 25, 26 people at once on it.
And there was no problem with the recording either on Tuesday, was there?
Well, no. The only problem I'm having with the recording is that my Unix client wants to stop recording at 2 gigabytes and not even tell me it stopped. Yeah, you know, which is a little strange. Now, this latest upgrade may have fixed that. I don't know. But the Windows client will make the, you know, the Windows client, Matt Ott, he hosted Tuesday's Crystal Leos program, and, mm-hmm. and he got a recording out of it that was larger than 2 gigabytes. You know, he got, I only got 2 gigabytes is 3 hours and 6 minutes in a WAV file. And yeah. both Monday and Tuesday, I only got 3 hours and 6 minutes. So I actually did lose the last half of the recording on Monday. I lost the last 45 minutes on Monday. So, I can't recover. I'm sorry, the last hour and a half. So I can't recover that. But, yeah, you know, it's an open forum. I lost an hour and a half of the audio. I lost it. I'm not going to cry over it. But I'm going. yeah. I'm going to start using my Windows client. I'm going to have to start signing in twice and use my Windows client to record. If the latest beta copy, the latest upgrade didn't fix that in Linux.
Yeah. By the way, when I'm downloading Crystal Leos or even the Monday evening show now on this new system, I can hear everybody perfectly apart from you, Bill. And you're very muted. You know, I want to turn the volume up, so I have to actually press something into my ear to help me hear what you're saying when you're speaking. But everybody else is absolutely fine.
Where is that? Here or on TeamSpeak?
It's on TeamSpeak when I've done the MP3 download, because obviously I'm listening the day afterwards.
Oh, okay.
And this was both Monday evening of this week and Tuesday, the Crystal Leos. Everybody I could hear clearly, apart from you, and you were very, very, very soft, very muted in terms of the way you were speaking. So I don't know what was causing that.
Well, I really do have a pretty low voice, and when I'm on talk show, I've accustomed myself to practically yelling into the phone to keep my volume at the same level as Eli's, whose volume is always loud. I don't know why. I don't know why I have that audio problem. But everybody always complains my voice is too low. And on TeamSpeak, I thought I could get away with talking normally, and evidently I can't. I'm pretty soft-spoken, in normal circumstances. And my voice, I think it gets shrill when I talk too loud.
Yes, it does. Yes, and it's not shrill on TeamSpeak. It's much more natural.
Well, that's right. That's my natural tone.
That's good. It's just that of all people, it's probably, you know, you're the one person I want to hear more than anybody else. I can't hear sometimes what you're saying, especially when you're expounding scripture or something like that. I think, darn it, I missed that bit, you know.
Well, I'll do my best. You know, if I do my recording on a separate machine from now on, then I will I'll be able to adjust my volume up. I just hope that I'm not louder than everybody else if I do that, because I don't want to come off like,
No.
Like a pompous ass.
I don't think anybody could accuse you of that, but it's just an experiment, isn't it, at the moment, working out what's going to work and what won't.
Well, right.
But I thought I'd give you that feedback. It wasn't criticism. It was just strange that, you know, you were more difficult to hear than anybody else.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And what I'll do is I'll probably, maybe tonight after the Subi Sisters program, or tomorrow night after the Christogenos program with Eli, that maybe I'll go on to the TeamSpeak and record on my other other client and adjust my volume upwards instead of recording on the computer that I'm using.
Yes.
Because you can't adjust your volume upwards on the computer you're using.
Yes, yes. Well, I did that with the wizard of the TeamSpeak wizard, which helps you sort everything else.
Well, right, but then if I make the microphone more sensitive, it'll pick up feedback or all different kinds of noise from elsewhere in the house. It already picks up.
Yeah.
I'm in the basement and there's people up. Yeah, you know, my mother and grandmother walk in the kitchen above me, and my microphone picks that up.
Yeah, that's right.
And people tell me I live in a noisy house, but I'm really right under the kitchen floor. The ceiling's exposed. So I can look up and see the floorboards.
I hadn't picked any of that up. I think I'd heard a yak from Sam.
Samson weighs 45 pounds today at the vet. It's incredible. This dog's going to be...
And how old is he now?
He gained 14 pounds this month. He's not quite 4 months old.
Yeah.
Doing very well.
I think he has four or five days to go before he's 4 months old.
Mm.
He'll probably weigh 50 pounds by then, I'm sure.
Yeah. Going to be a big dog.
Yeah, he's probably going to end up weighing 100 pounds. And if he still has the brain that he has now, that means that he's going to be a constant problem.
And he will.
Maybe not for me, but my poor mother. And the dogs, my poor grandmother only weighs 89 pounds, I think. She's like 5'2", and she's 100 pounds soaking wet if I put bricks in her pocket. She flees from the dog now. It's funny. I'm just blessed to have her in good enough shape that she can flee from the dog, you know?
Yeah. I know you once said that you weren't going to feed raw because it wasn't feasible, but my experience has been that it's cheaper to do that than to feed normal dog foods, and that's probably because where I train the dog, or attempt to, I think it's me who's being trained, the guy actually provides chicken carcasses, you know, which have had most of the meat taken off them, but for animal feeds, and it's so cheap. I just thought that, you know, if there was a similar sort of outlet in your area, you'd find it was a very easy way to feed the dog, and cheap. Cheaper than normal.
I do have a few farms here, but they don't actually process food here.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can find a source. I really don't.
No, fair enough. I just thought I'd mention it because I didn't know this existed until I got this last dog. And it's really been so easy to feed her, just giving her chicken carcasses, because she just chomps on them and they're so nutritious. I mean, besides other raw stuff, but it's also cheap because it's really what the food industry doesn't want.
Oh yeah, of course not, and it would probably be better for them or just as good.
I just thought I'd mention it so you can keep your ears peeled to see if there's anything like that in your area, because it's got to be convenient.
Right. I just don't know if, I don't know if I'd want to put my mother through that either, you know, if she'd have the patience for that.
Well, all you do is you bite on block and then you throw one of the carcasses to the dog. There's no food preparation.
No.
So it's so easy to feed like that, and I'm lazy. And you'll often find that there's probably the heart and the livers inside as well as a bit of meat on the outside. But then there's all that calcium and other nutrients from the actual carcass, which hasn't been cooked. It's entirely raw. And the first time I ever fed raw, I was so nervous because I thought, I'm going to have this little puppy choking to death. And I was ringing the trainer, and I had my phone in one hand and the carcass in the other. And I'm saying, what do I do? Do I cut it into tiny little pieces? And he said, Judy, don't be ridiculous. The dog knows what to do with that. And at that point, she jumped up, and this is a sort of seven-week puppy, got it out of my hand, took it into the garden, and started to demolish it. So it was plain sailing from then on.
Okay. Walter had asked about the Cristaleos archive, and that's not on Cristagenia because it's really not my program, and it's if I can't control the content, I don't want it on Cristagenia. That's the way it is, and it'd be like putting somebody else's programs and opinions on my site. That's not going to happen. It's on the forum at cristagenia.org, and I put the link into the chat window. But all of the Crystal Leos Tuesday programs are archived on the forum at Christogenia under Alternative Media. You'll see an entry called the Crystal Leos Fellowship Call Archive, and they're all there. Oh, except sometimes I fall a week or two behind because I just and I'll catch up eventually when you see that, but and it's hard to manage too many things sometimes. Yeah, I should consider it. You're right, Judith. If I had a reliable source, I think I finally found a source for decent beef in a farmer down the road.
Oh, good.
And I'm hoping to buy a half from them this fall if I can. I should be able to afford it if I save my pennies. But, yeah, I'm hoping to buy a half a steer from them this fall.
Right.
And we have the freezer space. I have a 10-cubic-foot freezer staring at right now that's unplugged, but it works. We just haven't needed it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And he feeds. He told me it would be $2.50 a pound, which is dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're paying for a lot of waste too, but it's still, I think, it's dirt cheap. And
but you see, with dogs, there's no waste at all because they eat everything. They eat all the bones.
I don't know if I want to feed them that many bones. I don't know.
Listen, bones are so good for them. It makes everything work.
Well, we had a bad experience when I was a kid. We had a puppy that we gave some pork chop bones to, and we ended up having to take them to a vet to dig them back out.
Well, were they cooked?
Yes.
Well, you never, ever give cooked bones to a dog. So
okay.
I'm always talking about raw everything, raw bones, raw meat, raw everything.
So you throw this dog, the chicken carcass, he eats the whole thing, bones and all?
Oh, everything. In fact, when you listen to them crunching it, you know, it's quite strange at first. I thought I was going to have this poor animal, have some sort of blockage in her throat. But she doesn't. I mean, I would swear that some of these things go down sideways.
Yeah.
She just attacks them, and she loves them. And every day she gets a bone on top of everything else raw. She has a special bone that I get them from my butcher. He's very good. He gives me all sorts of bones. But that enables the animal to, to be so healthy. Cleans their teeth naturally.
Hmm.
And make sure that everything goes through like an express train.
Well, I have my mother convinced that beef is pure vegetable, so. she told me I was full of it. And I said, well, look, what does a cat, what does a steer eat? It eats nothing but grass, and it processes it, and it packs it away. It's pure vegetable. How could it not
be? Yeah.
Hello, Betty.
Oh, hello.
How you doing?
Good evening.
I'm all right. Yes, thank you.
Great. You're awfully quiet today, and I'm almost concerned you're so quiet.
Well, I was just listening because I was interested in that because I've always been taught that you never give animals chicken bones. So I was interested in what you were saying.
Well, maybe they won't splinter as much if they're not cooked. Judith said
no,
yeah.
No, that must be the answer to it.
Yes, yeah. I don't give her anything cooked. Everything's raw.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. How are you, Bill?
Wonderful. I mean, busy, but wonderful. Trying to keep myself busy. And I have a program tonight at 8. I'll be on the Patriot Dames tonight at 8, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, I saw that on your website today. It's the Dame evening. What does that mean? It's all ladies?
Yeah, it's two sisters that do that program. They call themselves the Subi sisters. I mean, that's probably their name. That's probably their last names.
Oh,
they're not really identity. I mean, they're typical, from what I think, that they're typical right-wing patriot types, you know, pro-militia, anti-big government.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought you were going to have a radio program for ladies only.
Oh, no. I mean, I wouldn't mind that. I'd have to do it in person, though, right? No, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, they have a lot of the people that listen to EY's and mine programs listen to them, too.
Oh.
And it seems to me they have a pretty popular program. So it might be interesting because there will be a different mix in the crowd there also.
Yes.
So it might be interesting. I know she's she studied my website. I know she's read my websites.
Yes.
So I have no idea what to expect, but it might be fun.
I always think of that scripture where it says some people are what the Almighty requires, you know, without going through the religious system. I often wonder about that scripture. I can't think where it is. It just says there are people who are naturally what he wants somehow. I wonder if that applies to people like that, really.
Some of the best Christians I've known, met my wife, don't even know they're Christians.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you know, it's how you live your life and how you treat your brother that's primary importance.
Yeah.
And there's people who live their whole lives keeping his commandments. They don't even know it. And if you ever told them, they'd look at you funny.
They're just natural, aren't they? Yes, absolutely.
Right. The laws are written in their hearts. And I've met a lot of good people that they never went to church, that they were disaffected by it, didn't believe it or whatever, but they were perfectly wonderful Christians.
Yes, that's good.
And that matters. These people that go to church every Sunday and act pious for an hour, and then that afternoon they're watching football and cussing and gambling and drinking Monday night they're renting porno flicks and then they're back in church the following Sunday after they've slept with two of their neighbors' wives and they're getting baptized again. They're not Christians. They're just joking.
No. I'm just so amazed at all the sexual deviancy that's coming to the fore in government, in all high places and probably low places. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's the parable in Joshua, the parable of the trees of the forest, and the oak tree and the fig tree and the olive tree, they don't want to rule over us, but the bramble bush will be quick to rule over us.
Oh, right. I didn't know that. Meant that.
Absolutely. I mean, the oak tree and the fig tree says, I don't want to rule over you because then I wouldn't be able to spend my time doing what I do best, making figs for men. And the same thing with the olive tree, and men need olives, and the olive tree knows that. And the olive tree would rather make olives for men. And then the bramble bush that has nothing to do, that can't do anything, will be quick to rule over us. And that's what we end up with.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
With all the pickles.
and nothing changes. The scripture is timeless. And it has timeless lessons in it, and we still don't get it.
No.
Yeah.
We don't get it because there's nobody who really understands it to pass it on. You know, they don't go into the Old Testament prophets.
When they have been to their training colleges, they've been trained and they come out and try to fill the congregation with what they've learned. And it's far from being Yahweh's word to us. We're better off away from it.
Yes, so who knows unless you come up against the truth. I mean, those scriptures that Bill's just mentioned, I have seen them, but they've just floated over my eyes. You know, you don't really get the full impact of these things.
Yeah.
Have you studied about 30 years?
No, I haven't studied that long. I mean, I'd like to say that I have, but I haven't, not at all.
Oh, you know, a lot of people have been in churches and that for all that number of years. I don't think it matters about the number of years.
No, if they'd have had their noses in the Bible for half that time, they'd have been a lot better off.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's right.
And they'd probably be a lot wealthier, too. They wouldn't have been being raped by these charlatans for the last 30 years.
No.
Yeah, even.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Do something with your money.
I mean, in worldwide, we were told not to read anybody else's material. And you're so anxious to do the right thing, you take notice of them for about 10 years, and then you realize you're not getting, you know, you can't really follow what they're saying either. So that was the best thing I did, was to move on and start reading other people's material.
It should only take one reading of the Bible to get people out of the church. Even the King James. Read it one time. Read the New Testament one time. And that should make you want to read the Old Testament if you actually consider where all those statements are coming from. I mean, how many times does it say Isaiah the prophet said this or Isaiah the prophet said that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sure.
One reading of the New Testament should be enough to get anybody out of the church. But none of them sit and read the whole thing.
That's true. That's true.
And the hell with the notes in the Bibles. Don't read the notes. That'll just poison your mind.
Hey, Isaiah wants to come in.
Yeah, I unmuted him. This thing's just taking its sweet time, I guess.
I see. So.
There we go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
How you doing, Isaiah?
Okay, here he is.
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I got a question on your New Testament because I just received it. There's a part in the introduction where you say that you've eliminated certain verses, which is good because there's some verses that have been thrown in there. But it says that therefore passages such as those found in the Authorized Version at Mark 16:9-11, and it goes further. But there shouldn't that be Mark 16:9-20?
You know,
because
it should be. You're right. I'm sorry. I made a goof. I screwed up. I should have a proofreader. That's what I should have. All right, I'll fix that in a future edition. But, I'm sure there's a typo or two in there.
Yeah, because your Mark's Gospel ends at 8. Which is correct.
Yeah, I know, but I got the idea in my head of the last 11 verses, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't have that proofread, and I probably should have, but thank you.
But that's okay. I mean, I just thought, what I want to bring that to your attention. There's one part where it should be, it should be like a conjunction in there, which wasn't in there. I think that was probably just a typo, too. All you got to do is use good proper English and, you know.
Well, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. That's the way it is.
Well, it's not that true. It's not a question of being perfect or not. You know, you got a lot of things on your mind, and you know, things just happen. But I was reading something interesting in Wild West magazine. I get this all the time, every couple of months. They talk about the Cheyenne. Now, the Cheyenne Indians, I believe, came from Georgia or South Carolina. That's where they originated. Then they started moving west. But they mentioned how correlation between the Cheyenne and the Europeans. The Europeans had chivalry, and there's one former Confederate soldier that even, he had a Cheyenne wife, but he even mentioned that he thinks that the Cheyenne might have been Nordic. And it's very possible because of the way they were. They were farmers, and they actually treated women decently.
Well,
but
the Clovis culture, I mean, even modern-day anthropologists have admitted that the Clovis culture is Nordic, and that's found in the Southeast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Choctaw, the Shawnee, I believe, and others like that, yeah. The Fox, the Sac Indians, the Iroquois. I got over 25% of your American Indians today are direct descendants of white Europeans.
Well, and that's been established also through DNA haplotypes. But I would like to see some pictures of those people.
Right.
Pictures here, but I can't. I send it to them. Some of them are dark, but others looked very close to white people. So the way they look is the Roman type nose, and they're very close to it. I don't know if I can go on the West Wild West magazine internet site, and maybe I can send them to you. Some look like they're really mixed, and when they started going west, they probably mixed with the Asian stock of Indians too. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
I'm sure. And
there's a lot
not
of them in,
voluntarily.
There's one Indian called Seplum Lauber who was actually of white Indians. So that's probably why David Brainerd was so successful in evangelizing the Indians of the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, and so forth, because they're probably white Indians. Where west of the Mississippi, they're from Asian stock. So, I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. It's really kind of interesting. But this
right,
sort of
well,
thing
I've read Barry Fell in America BC, and
it's amazing.
I tried to get my hands on his other books a few years ago, and I couldn't, but I haven't tried again since I got home. America and Bronze Age America.
Yeah, what they're trying to do, you can go to any library, they're trying to censor a lot of that stuff, too. Because they don't want, just like with giants, they found skeletal remains of giants like 30 feet high, 30 feet tall.
Well, I've never seen any documentary evidence on that. I know what Steve Quayle says and what he's presented.
Well, yeah, I've got his book. And I guess you can actually go on the internet. And I've had some people say that giants up to 50 feet tall. Well, I don't know how that, unless you really see it. But they kind of try to hide it. And there are certain kings, like Maximilian, I think it was, or I can't think of the guy. There was one king that was like 8 feet 11 inches tall. So they're there. It makes sense if they're offspring of fallen angels. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What happened to all the buffalo in America? We used to see films with herds and herds of buffalo. Never see that now.
Most of them were nearly wiped out in the late 1800s when the railroads went through the West. But, there are large herds of buffalo again that have been raised in captivity.
Right.
And they're concentrated in Montana and Idaho. But they're all in private hands for the most part.
They're farms more. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Ted Turner owns... A tremendous buffalo herd, actually.
Illinois FEMA Labs got, I think, 60 head of buffalo, right? That's actually on the property in FEMA, just south of me. And the largest herd that I haven't told, unless they changed it, was in Alaska, at Eielson, Fairbanks, Alaska. That's what I was told. That's kind of interesting. But they're all over the place. As I said, there's one down at FEMA. It's like 40 to 60 head. So you can go right on the property of FEMA. What do they do? It's a government-type situation where they do a lot of experiments. And you just go on grounds, and you'll pass up herds of buffalo. Or at least 40 head.
Because that animal is unique to America, isn't it, really? Don't get buffalo anywhere else.
You can eat buffalo meat, too. If you ever get a chance to come to the United States, in the first weekend of October in Indiana, they got the Feast of the Hunter's Moon, which is like an entire weekend. It sent you back all the way back to like 300 years. And back in those good old days, they used to have rendezvous. And basically, it was one big party, and people would literally gorge themselves, would eat and get all fat and lazy, and then they get back on their horses and go out hunting and go off from places. And you can go in the first weekend of October in Indiana. It's right outside of Lafayette, Indiana. And they serve buffalo there. And you can buy things, and it's really interesting. Yeah.
Is it clean meat, then, buffalo?
Well, yeah, it's a lot leaner than beef. I've actually had it, and it's a lot leaner than beef.
Yeah.
It's grittier, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, a lot of the heathens would not like that because you don't get that marbleization that they love to have to make their that pretense of tenderness. We're told not to eat fat, and I mean, we're going to eat some fat. We're not going to be able to avoid it.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't eat it on purpose, right?
Yeah,
right.
True.
Right.
But it's difficult not to eat it because about everything you got now, it's got all this kind of fat, this trans fatty acids and all this weird stuff. So, and that's why you have to exercise and eat a lot of lettuce. Now, buffalo is one of the symbols of Israel, too, by the way.
Yeah,
in fact,
it is.
In fact, when the Israel used to go out, and they would go out either on a, well, when they would move from place to place, they move in a square with the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, and they would have three tribes at each side, like north, east, west, and south, and one of the symbols was the beast, and I think that might have been Naphtali. So that's one symbol was the eagle, one symbol was the lion, Naphtali, or actually the beast, and also man.
And buffalo
is the symbol of Israel.
Well, that was the sign of Ephraim.
It's Ephraim, correct. Yeah. That's the bull.
Well, I mean, it was a bull, but exact variety of it, I mean, could probably be argued.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Incredible how they made that formation. Three tribes on each part.
Scott might insist it was a Hersford, and a Bertrand might insist it was a Jersey. I don't know where all the different cattle names come from, but yeah, you get the point.
That's it.
They had a film here last week, Gone with the Wind. I know it's terribly old, but I sort of watched it again so I could get the history of why the South fought against the North. And it never was quite clear to me who was who and what they were really fighting for. So that was the Civil War, was it?
Well, right, but it was sure as hell wasn't over slaves. That was just an excuse used the people in the churches to decide the war. The reason was that the Rothschilds wanted to divide this nation into North and South.
Right, yeah, they did.
And they agitated the war and used slavery as the message, to get the church people in the North, the Yankee churchgoers, to get them rallied against the South.
Right.
They used the slavery issue.
Yeah, the real cause of the Civil War was states' rights and also tariffs. I mean, the North was just killing the South with tariffs and invading their property and basically kind of dictating to them. The South said, enough of that. Can't do that.
But Gerald's excellent show on what he called the War of Northern Aggression.
That's probably what it should be called.
I would suggest that you download that, Dorcas, and listen to it. It was very good. And he even mentioned Gone with the Wind in it.
It should really be called The First War Where the Jews Suckered White Americans.
Right. Why?
That's what it should be called.
Oh, well, I'll certainly look into that.
Well, a lot of people don't even know that when the Confederacy fired the shots at Fort Sumter, that they were trying to tell the North constantly, don't bother, they're part of it, let's talk about it. They kept on doing that. Well, Lincoln, they wanted the soldiers off of Fort Sumter, but Lincoln started fortifying it, and also he was starting to come up with a ships to actually land in South Carolina and invade the South. And so the South was forced to fire on Fort Sumter. Stop an invasion. Lincoln was actually a tyrant. He was actually not necessarily a nice guy. He really wasn't.
No, he had a lot of his opposition arrested. He shut down newspapers. I mean, a lot of tyrannical moves that they were flew in the face of the Constitution were pulled as early as Lincoln.
Oh yeah, Lincoln was the first president to actually have a people killed because they wouldn't do what he said. There was an Indian tribe in Minnesota, and Lincoln wanted them to scout for him during the Civil War, and they said, "Why? Why should we? We got no fight against them, and we're not going to do that." So Lincoln sent troops up to Minnesota, and he wiped out 150 of these Indians. That's all they were, 150 of them. Just killed them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they wouldn't do what he wanted.
Yeah.
Lincoln was a tyrant, yeah.
Well, there's Gerald. I mean, there's a lot there now, but a lot more will be posted. We have a site Gerald has been working on, and it's dixie.christagenia.org.
Wow. That might be interesting.
And there's a lot of audios from a pastor named John Weaver there, who while John Weaver is not identity per se, he is, racially conscious and very proud of his Southern heritage. And a lot of people, I haven't had the time to listen myself, but a lot of people that I know respect him and enjoy his sermons. And you could hear a lot of them on the Dixie site.
And is it ready for us to go to yet?
Oh, yeah, it has been. It's, yeah, you know, progress is slowly being made. Just
the
new Ensign site, you know, it's a step at a time.
Okay.
But there's a lot of pictures, and there's a lot of, there's some text, and there's a lot of audio files up there.
What's the name of the site again?
Dixie.christagenia.org.
I must tell you, I've actually got my earphones and microphone all set up. So tomorrow, maybe I'll try your new site.
Oh, that'd be great, Dorcas. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yes. Will you? Okay, then.
Yeah, I'll make it a point to be there if I know you're going to show up.
Right. So what's the best time of the day for you? I mean...
Well, you know... I kind of work around it for most of the day.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right,
I'm not always paying attention to it.
No, you're in the vicinity, so to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to trying it out.
And if I see somebody show up, I'll be there.
You're joining. Yeah, you're joining in. Yeah.
I felt so pleased with myself that I actually haven't got to worry Judith again and have to fix it all up after hours. It took hours. But there you go. You've got to stick at it, haven't you? And I managed it. I'm so pleased.
Another thing about the Indians. The Indians fought alongside the Southerners against the United States in the Second War of Independence.
And so did some Negroes.
Oh.
That's right. The South was more racially integrated by far than the North. And the race got along better.
I don't know about that. The South wanted to maintain its segregation, just like the Bible says.
Well,
the Bible says segregated. That's not.
There was separation, you know, as far as offspring, but they lived together, worked together more than the North.
Oh, yeah. The North was more. Well, there are slaves in the North. I mean, in Illinois here, I've driven past plantations, former plantations. You can tell they're plantations. And there's more slavery here in the North than in the South. Because in the South, at the time of the Civil War, the slave was basically out the door. And there's so many countries that did away with slavery without ever fighting a war, like Brazil, Argentina, and a lot of other countries. So that's true. But getting back to Lincoln, atrocity that Lincoln was involved in. We had during the Civil War, there was a Illinois commander. His name was Turkian. And, Elgin, Illinois over here produced most of the soldiers that they fought in the Civil War from the North. Kind of from Illinois, at least from Illinois. That's kind of interesting. But he was, I think he was part of the 110th of the 95th Regiment. I'm not too sure. But they were known for atrocities. In fact, Grant put Turkey in notice as for court-martial. And so did Sherman. And so Lincoln did was Lincoln countermanded the orders and promoted Turkey into Brigadier General. Yeah. So he promoted a tyrant, a blood, just like Albert Pike. When Albert Pike was out west fighting for the South, and he was killing a lot of people, Jefferson Davis just did away with Albert Pike all over and just dissolved his entire regiment and kicked him out of the military because he was a tyrant. Lincoln didn't do that.
Albert Pike was a Freemason, also known as Illuminati.
Albert Pike, yeah. Yeah, they're saying that Albert Pike was like a 34th degree Mason, if there's such a thing. But he's like a top Mason. Yeah. It goes up to 35. How can I say this? In Masonry, you got 1 to 32, then you got another level that's 1 to 32. That's real secret.
Well, you don't like really have 1 through 32. They have several degrees, and the highest is 32.
Yeah.
Because I think you start out at 3rd, and then you go to 9th or something like that. It's not really 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, it isn't. But it's like you got another mirror group that is real secretive. They got blood oaths and so forth. So.
Well, right.
Mason is a religion.
Lord Brother and I have been discussing that to some degree. We've been reading from Nestor Webster,
about
the French Revolution on a Sunday night program. And I would recommend to anybody to go get that Nestor Webster book, World Revolution. And you could find it on, it's a Google book, right? But I do have it posted on the Mein Kampf project.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's what we've been using, the source material for discussing the French Revolution. And she goes into how the Jews and the Jesuits were really behind this Illuminati, along with this Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jesuit.
He was a Jesuit Jew.
Well, right, but most of the Jesuits were Jews.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were behind the Illuminati, and they were behind the infiltration of Masonry. And the Jesuits only existed for one reason, and that was so that the Jews could infiltrate our governments.
Yeah,
right.
They couldn't do it as Jews, but they could
it
as Jesuits because people thought they were Catholics.
They also changed the names too. Though, and there's a lot of people. There are Jews that are called O'Brien for crying out loud. You know, O'Brien and Collins and so forth, but they're Jews. They just changed their names. But Nestor Webster is really good. She really knows what she's talking about.
I'll put a link into that book because I would see that's a I don't know. It's a book that everybody that wants to know about the conspiracy should probably read.
Yeah.
Another one is A. Ralph Epperson's pretty good, The Unseen Hand, but he's only quoting a lot of stuff from her and from a couple of other authors on the French Revolution. But Nestor Webster is his primary source for the French Revolution. And he's a University of Arizona history professor who's aware of the conspiracy. So he's a mainstream, more or less, academic that's aware of the conspiracy.
The Seventh-day Adventists brought out a big book about the French Revolution, the history, which I've got somewhere here. That was quite eye-opening. You don't realize how history is all interconnected.
Well, absolutely.
And
the Jesuits are still here, and they're still in arm of the Rothschilds, and they're still manipulating behind the scenes today.
Right. Day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
They're still a part of the beast today.
Yeah.
Well, what's the word in Britain concerning the BP oil spill? That's what I'd like to hear from a British perspective.
Well, I think they're most concerned about the toxicity of the dispersant being used on the one hand, which is far more deadly than the oil, and obviously will have could create atmospheric problems as well, which could drift inland. And also the fact that from the information we've been given, it appears they're not trying to cap the well, but to, I'm lost for the technical jargon now, put something on it which will actually siphon the oil.
Yeah.
So that the impression is they're not doing what they've done in the past under similar circumstances, and there's a great deal of suspicion as to why they haven't made more progress.
I haven't bought a paper this week, so I don't know what their comments are in the press.
They did say on the
That wasn't from the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Well, what's the mainstream media saying, Judith? Do you know?
A big shooting. So that's taken over the whole news.
A shooting in Britain? You're not allowed to have
Nobody
tell me a shooting happened in Britain. No, I'm kidding.
In Cumbria yesterday, 12 were shot.
No.
I think then there's several in hospital.
I hope it was a Muslim doing the shooting. Who was doing the shooting?
It was a mature man, a 52, a taxi driver.
Wow, a real Breton. I mean, we don't have any real New York taxi drivers over here. They're all Hindus and...
I wondered whether June's got any more info about that, because it's up where you are, June.
They have said that there's 12 actually dead, and there are 11 injured. I think three had been allowed out of hospital, so they must have dressed them up and that was okay. But there are still three who are seriously ill in hospital.
Oh.
It was just they think it's been a family feud because the man killed his twin brother and the solicitor, so they think it was something to do with the will and the fighting over the things that won't last, but they'll find that where they are now, they'll be lasting a long time. Regarding the oil spill, what they have said, they were trying to put rubbish and tires and all kinds of things over this well, and it hasn't worked. And now Obama is saying that the BP must build some sandbanks to stop the oil getting into America. But they have said that the oil, it isn't heavy grade, it's just a lighter grade oil. Well, I mean, as far as you can believe anything that they tell you.
Right.
But as I say, I have heard another thing which just tied in with something I'd heard before. But they say that there's a place in Guatemala where there's a huge hole developed in the land.
Oh, yes, I've heard that. And they're doing that under America.
We'd already heard that because of the oil that's escaping and the gas and what have you, it's as if the continents are just on a pillow or a balloon.
Well, when it sucks Guatemala...
When the balloon burst, then the continent will go down.
When it sucks Guatemala into the core of the earth, I hope it brings Mexico and Colombia with it. That's all I can say.
They did say that corresponding sinkholes were appearing over the entire North American continent. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
You should see the one in South America. I saw an aerial picture of it. A three-story building just fell in a sinkhole. and right in the middle of the city, in the middle of one big hall. It's really amazing.
Right.
It's on the internet. Okay. You can see it on the internet. Yeah, sinkhole. Just dropped a three-story building. That's like 30, 35, 40 feet.
Well, the shooter was a white, 52-year-old white male, and he's a white male, there's no doubt. And
Yes. Yes,
I'm pretty upset that if he had to kill 12 people randomly, he probably should have went to London.
Well, yeah. there's a more serious aspect to this, you know, because when the killing was in Dunblane, they took away all the private guns.
Well, of course, and that's the way they react. They react in panic. And they use that as an excuse to take our freedoms away.
Well, I believe
like
when
children.
This happens, it'll be another excuse to begin even further, because the man's guns were all legitimately held. You know, he had the right to have these guns. And, I mean, they just prattle on the radio. Now, think about America, how you're determined not to give your guns in. Keep tight hold of them, because we haven't got any here. I mean, one would be no use to me, and any interest or... but I do think that it was a big mistake to allow them to go, because, of course, there's only the legitimately held guns that went, because there's been more shooting with the illegally held ones.
Well, of course, criminals do not care about gun laws.
Well, I mean, ask any gangbanger. Ask any gangbanger, Chicago or New York. Are you going to give up your guns? He'll give up a gun. He's got no firing pin. It's like 40 years old. So he can get $50 for it so he can buy some drugs. You know, that's the other guy's going to say he's going to keep it home. His Uzi, his AK-47, he's going to keep it home.
Now, laws do not stop crime.
No, I don't.
Right.
Only culture prevents crime. And because the cultured people usually obey the law, they're the first ones to get caught without guns when people pass gun laws.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quite true.
Yeah.
That's true.
If laws prevented crime, America would have nobody in prisons. America has more laws than anybody else. Well maybe, I mean, with England and Germany, it might be close.
Yeah,
but we have the largest prison system.
But then,
if we
obeyed God's law, we wouldn't need prisons, would we?
Well, right, but we have.
The people who had murdered and they were all found, you know, legitimately sorted out, well, they wouldn't be here to be considered, would they?
They wouldn't be alive, would they?
But our biggest problem is we've let an alien element into our list, into our midst, that cannot possibly obey God's law, because they have no God.
I'm not speaking of the criminals, Bill. I'm speaking of the do-gooders. Oh, we can't treat these murderers in a terrible way. They don't think about the poor people who have been bereft of their family.
They're
not considered at all in Britain.
Liberalism is a disease, and it's probably our biggest case.
Yeah.
Well, have you noticed that when Haiti... the earthquake in Haiti hit, we sent all these supplies and all these people to help those black people in Haiti. Of course, they slaughtered the French in the 1700s, and nobody cares about that. And yet you got all this 10th city in the United States. You got it in San Diego, you got it in Pennsylvania, you got it like all over the place. All these people that our government isn't helping at all. But we're helping the Haitians to get better.
Well,
they don't even get better.
That's because our government doesn't help white people. It just doesn't.
That's right.
It should be blatantly obvious by now.
Well, here, on the 2nd of June, it says here, two 18,000-pound council jobs were available, but only if you were not white. And a council has, this particular council has been accused of discrimination after white people were told that they couldn't apply for these two jobs. And it's created a bit of an uproar, but, you know, they've got away with it.
Right,
yeah.
And they should be marched on and lynched is what should happen.
They should.
Yes, they
yeah.
certainly should.
Yeah.
Well, that happened in Sunderland 2 or 3 years ago. I met a very smart young man, just left school. He was, you know, clean cut and a pleasure to be with. And he said he had gone to the job centre. He had selected a job that he thought he could do. And he went and applied at the desk. I don't know the arrangements. But anyhow, the woman said, oh, you can't apply for that job because we have a notice on that. It's only for an asylum seeker. And I said to him, I said, well, listen, honey, you've just left school. I said, you've been accustomed to being up in the morning in time for school and being clean and tidy to go to school. I said, what they're aiming at is you can't have a job, so you'll start to hang about and you don't need to get up so early and then you haven't had your hair cut. And I said, and that is what their aim is for you. I says, you're the only one that can keep the way you've been trained to be respectable and clean. And I says, you will get a job somewhere, because if anybody looking for a young man is going to think, well, there's a smartly turned out fella, I'll ask him to do my job. But, I mean, this is just what's happening in Britain. I mean, it's absolutely appalling. They're letting... They cannot even tell us how many people have been allowed into this country. And yet, they have the nerve to say that a youngster who's been through school couldn't apply for a job. And I get it. He couldn't apply because that was a special job for an asylum seeker. I think it's absolutely disgusting.
That is disgusting. And we let it happen, and we should never let it happen. We shouldn't let them do that.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's our own apathy that gets us in trouble. It's our own apathy that lets our government get even think that they could get away with this crap.
Yeah.
It's our apathy. Our apathy emboldens our enemies, and that's why that's why we're in this condition today.
Yeah.
And if you speak out against it, well, you're racist and you're all kinds of horrible people. Because we're supposed to welcome these people in. Apart from the fact that the scripture tells us you don't have an alien ruling over you.
Nope.
Don't choose your prince from among the aliens.
PC is public cowardice. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be thrown in prison if you speak out. How dare you do that? But I know years ago when I was looking for a job, I walked into 15 miles a day, 5-6 days a week, looking for a job. And I was living in Alton, right after college. And I went to unemployment like 2 or 3 times a week. And a lot of companies hire through the unemployment office. And so I fill out my application, stand in line. And I'd see 3 or 4 women get hired, 3 or 4 blacks, 3 or 4 Hispanics get hired. Then I'd come up to her and she'd say, well, we're not hiring right now. We'll just put your application on file. So I'd sit down and look for other opportunities, and I'd see 3 more women get hired, 3 more blacks get hired, 3 more whites get or 3 more Hispanics get hired. And I went up to her and I said, wait a minute, I thought you were hiring. She said, we're not. I said, well, you hired these people. She said, well, we're not hiring your kind. I said, why, because I'm white? She said, yes. I got kicked out of the unemployment office.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was white, they wouldn't hire me.
Yeah.
And that was years ago. I mean, I'm talking about 1978, 79, right in that area.
So, that is wrong, yeah.
See, so it's the problem you got in Great Britain, though, is all the Muslims. My goodness, I'm surprised you don't have these people walking down the street putting a handkerchief out of the back pocket, putting on the sidewalk and just starting to pray. I'm surprised you don't have loudspeakers praying to Allah. Or
we're fortunate in one sense that they are in their own ghettos and there aren't that many of the ghettos.
Oh, that's good.
You know, they are. I mean, for example, they're not in my village.
Right, yeah.
But we do have a lot of Asian doctors within our National Health Service, that sort of thing. Which
well,
is
that's because they'll work for 40 or 50,000 less than the white doctors.
Of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it didn't cost them anything to go to school.
At the University of Chicago Medical School, they're all Asian or Indian, all the doctors. Yeah, I used to take patients over there all the time when I worked at the state hospital. Man, they're all foreigners. Very few whites. But, yeah, you can see a big Muslim problem. We got masks going up around here, too. And stuff. I saw a couple of them. I mean, I'm surrounded. See, 3 miles to my north is a Jain center. 3 miles to my south is a Hindu temple. 5 miles to my west is a Buddhist temple. And then not too far down the road is a Muslim temple, like a couple of them. So I'm expecting to be waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning hearing, hi, hi. It's like when I was in Saudi Arabia, same thing. You get to wake up 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning hearing the guys singing people to prayer.
Well, you tell them that as soon as they get one of those carpets off the ground, you'll convert.
Yeah.
It's a flying carpet, right?
Yeah.
Actually, all these Asian doctors, I would never trust an Asian doctor. I was nearly finished off last year. You know, it makes one think that are they there to help you or to get you off the planet? It's so awful and so obvious that I'll never trust another one. And they're supposed to be doctors. And we've got loads of foreign doctors.
I think I have more of a problem with a Jewish doctor myself. For obvious reasons.
Dear.
And like that, they advertise this Jewish doctor called Finkelstein. Some orthopedic or something like that, or dealing with some female problem. I'm not too sure what it is. But I would never go to him.
Why
not
would
a Christian
ever go to a Jewish doctor to be healed? That's like a Christian going to the devil to be healed.
Yeah.
When a Christian goes to the devil to be healed, he's just spitting in the face of his God. He don't even
know.
The best place to go for healing is to Yahweh himself. I wouldn't trust any of the doctors. And they are just... Because they're all on a different wavelength altogether to what we are. I mean, it's been proved over and over again. The way they're pushing the injections. My doctor said I was changing to have a one nearer in my home. And the woman said, you will be able to have the flu jab straight away. Oh, I said, you don't do injections, honey. I said, the only thing I put into my body is good, wholesome food. And I mean, they just look as if you were absolutely wild. And I won't even go to see them. Because I know quite well, if you go, that will be the first thing. You must have your injection. And I have no intention of having them. I mean, they're doing their job as best they know how, but they don't realize the danger that they are to the ordinary people in the area.
Well, Western medical health care is the third major cause of death in the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's happened to Chris this evening?
He had a meeting in London. And so he said it depends how quickly he gets home. He'll be joining in if he gets the chance.
Okay.
But I mean, it's usually, by the time he travels down, it might be rather late.
I think so, yeah. From London, it'll take some time.
Before I went to Saudi Arabia, I was forced to take the anthrax shot 3 weeks after Congress suspended the use of it, saying it was too dangerous. Somehow the military didn't tell anybody about it. But, yeah, we were told if you didn't take the anthrax shot, we wouldn't go to Saudi Arabia and we'd be court-martialed. And I said, this is 3 weeks after Congress suspended the use of it, saying it was too dangerous. So I took it three times in the States, one time in Saudi Arabia. You figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you they can actually put that microchip in that syringe, too. They can stitch you that microchip.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they can easily do.
Finish.
You have to be careful with all that.
Real careful. Yeah. Real careful. I don't take shots at all. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die in bed. I'm going to die jogging or something, or petting a cat or something. You know, I'll go out in the woods and die. You know, I don't want to die like Michael Jackson died at the hands of a Jew. You know,
yeah.
I'm not looking at that. Looking at that.
Yeah.
When the Lord decides to withdraw the breath, that will do for me. He doesn't need any help.
That's right.
I belong to him, and he takes me when he's ready.
That's true.
You know, Jesus Christ.
And I've got to live my life so that I am ready for when he takes me.
That's my philosophy.
Yeah.
What do you got to lose? Not a thing. But it's just there's a war going on against the white race. You can sense it. A lot of people don't even see it. A lot of white people in the United States, they go, "Oh, what's this all about?" Oh, they can't put two and two together. It just doesn't dawn on them. Even with in the military, same thing. As you can tell, American soldiers are taught to kill, basically kill, and that's what they're doing inside in Afghanistan, Iraq, just killing people.
It's a terrible disgrace. They shouldn't be there. But it's not our government or your government. It's the ones who are pulling the strings. Because they're just puppets.
Yeah.
And some of us know who are pulling the strings.
Yeah.
I spoke to a man today in the bus station. And he was complaining. He said, Newcastle's... He says, we're like a foreign country. Look at them all.
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to drop a little word in his ear. So I thank the Lord for that. Because I thought, you see, people are recognizing there's something wrong, but they haven't the faintest idea what it is.
Right.
And so sometimes you get an opportunity to tell them.
Yeah.
Well, look at the Jews in that relief column that was going to the Gaza. They killed 19 people. They just they complained. They complained because the people on that boat, the people that were not even armed on that boat, defended themselves. You can't do that to the Jew. You know, Jew has the right to kill you.
Because the Jew believes that he is God.
That's right.
Right.
And we don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Or even don't want to believe.
He's his own God. How you doing, Econ?
Yeah, that's why Jews will fight amongst themselves all the time too. It's like one God fighting against another God. a few years ago, a Rockefeller killed a Rothschild or something. About 5-6 years ago, I read about that. And when they get rid of all of us. And got all the money and all the gold, who they're going to fight against themselves.
So Hitler warned us. He told us that Hitler told us that they only wanted their own country in Palestine so that they could have a haven for criminals and a high school for the next generation of criminals.
Yes,
and that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
And Hitler wrote that in the 20s. He knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
And of course, the media in this country made sure we didn't know what was going on because Hitler was such a wicked man. Oh, dear. And
you would be wicked to a devil. I mean, he should be wicked to a devil. And that's what they are, is devils.
But people in this country still haven't come to the understanding that Hitler was right. But there again, if I get an opportunity, I'll pass that message on.
Yeah.
in that interview, Hitler even said that. He said that eventually they're going to find out that I was actually right and Roosevelt was wrong. He actually blamed Roosevelt for a lot of the problems.
Well, he didn't realize that Roosevelt was a crypto Jew. And
yeah, he was.
Right.
Yeah.
And Churchill as well.
And Churchill and Stalin.
He was a dance Jew.
And then those three had the dividing up of the whole of Europe, and most of it went to the Bolsheviks. I mean, they ruined everything. But there will be a day of reckoning. There's going to be some sad people when it's all sorted out.
Well, they mind Hitler so much that people don't even think of simple fact that Stalin, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, killed a minimum of 60 million of his own people, white Christian Israelites.
Yes.
And God about Lenin killing thousands. And yet, in the last 300 years, something like 450 million white Christian Israelites were murdered by the Jews. And somehow, nothing is that even mentioned. You know, there's a war going on. The problem is, the thing is, though, that God is defending his people. And he's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hitler saved the Ukrainians from slaughter. He saved the Armenians from slaughter. He saved the French and the British at Dunkirk.
Yeah,
he saved the Russian invasion into Europe. Good Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we call him a bum. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then look at the Roosevelt, a Jew. Eisenhower is known as a Swedish Jew. And West Point is known as Ike the Terrible Kike. Churchill was also a Jew. His mother was a Jew. His mother was actually a prostitute and so forth.
Yeah, even.
And they bombed Dresden to smithereens, a beautiful city. And then, but in 14 hours, they killed like 250,000 people. They took them out. And they vaporized them. And people go, oh, well, so what? Another one bites the dust. That's the general attitude. But boy, you mentioned the Holocaust, and you say you don't believe what the Holocaust says. Oh, my word, you go crazy. I even had in the Civil Air Patrol, I'm in the Civil Air Patrol, and I mentioned that the one guy that I was with told him that, oh, there was a Holocaust. He said, oh, yeah, it was. Hitler killed all my family. Walked off.
Yeah.
You know, which isn't true at all.
Yep.
We said if I died of typhus or typhoid or something or starvation, because we found the living blaze out of Germany to the point where they couldn't feed anybody. And the German people were the ones that got the worst end of the deal. They're the ones that are starving more than even the Jews. And then Eisenhower ordered the Germans to leave their homes and gave the homes to the Jews. Oh, my goodness. That's like, you know, while Eisenhower was a devil, he was responsible for over a million German POWs starving to death.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It's just amazing. And we go, oh, well.
Yeah.
The old song, another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to care. And in the United States, nobody really seems to care at all. You just mention this sort of stuff, and they just don't want to believe it. Or they come up with some kind of excuse. I mean, the town of Cone and I think Hamburg also got belted by our bombers every night and day for 14 hours.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I see pictures of the aftermath of Dresden. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Well, a lot of those pictures were used to promote the Holocaust story later on.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. That they use German bodies, piles of German bodies, to say, hey, look at all these Jews waiting for the ovens.
And there was a German doctor, for instance. After World War II, in 1945, the Germans had to see propaganda films of the Holocaust and so forth. And so he was sitting in one of the propaganda films, and it mentioned his. It showed a picture of him caring for somebody. It mentioned his name, and that he was at Auschwitz. He started thinking, he never was at Auschwitz. Never been there. he couldn't figure it out. Then he realized that the picture was from Dresden, because he was at Dresden taking care of the people that were seriously injured. And they used that as a propaganda film to say that it was Auschwitz.
It wasn't.
It's just startling.
Well, you know, none of those piles of bodies that they took pictures of at yarmulkes on. I've never seen one.
At yarmulkes on?
No.
Hey.
I know the Jews, the reason that Hitler went into Poland is because the Jewish Poles were attacking the German farmers in Sudetenland. At least 58,000 German farmers were killed. And Hitler finds that's enough.
That was going on in the Danzig corridor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a buffer zone between Germany and Poland in that area. So
the shame is that all of Prussia was taken by the Poles. It was taken by the League of Nations and given to the Poles after World War I.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and most of these people from Eastern Prussia, they came from Austria. They were Austrians. They have been living there 200 years about.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I know about that because quite a lot of them, they had the same family name as I have, and they came from Austria, and they were sent in there in 1700, first half of 1700, because of their belief, their true Protestantism belief. They were bailed out of Austria by the Archbishop there, and then the soldier king, the old Fritz, he said to them, okay, if you come over the border, and if you want, then you are now Prussian citizen. And my protection. And they had to walk all straight through Germany. That's a long way to go. It took them a few months to go up there. And indeed, they came into Eastern Prussia. So they were safe for a few hundred years. And then the Second World War ended their safety. And they had to flee back again into Germany. And then they were seen in Germany as strangers, as foreigners. They even didn't like them. It's horrible for these people how they have been treated. It was a treatment, after all. But fortunately, we have now some books about the whole story and how these people suffered. If you read that, you can't believe your own ears and your eyes. And with the photographs and the texts, and that is of people who never told a word about it because they felt ashamed to talk about it. But now, after all these many years, they are coming free now and they are going to tell it now what has happened to them. This is terrible if you read it. It's only in German. We don't have an English translation of that book. But it is so indeed. It's awful what has happened. Such it is. We can't change the times.
One problem I've seen is that we have a tendency to try to keep hush about certain things, certain atrocities. And I don't really agree with that, no matter how it hurts somebody's feelings. I think that it should be exposed and brought out, so that you can learn from it, and so that you can actually deviate yourself away from it. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of secrets out there that people just like to hide. Even with the adoption thing and so forth, they shouldn't do that. Because I think the Bible talks about resolving conflicts. When the Bible says to ask forgiveness, it's not saying to do that in proxy. It says to actually resolve the conflict, go to the person, resolve the conflicts. Hiding it isn't going to do any good. It's going to just make it fester. And that's like Jesus Christ says, to make it quick if you're going to resolve issues quickly. And I've gone to funerals and wakes where I've seen a brother or sister, or actually a brother or sister of the deceased, won't even go to the wake or funeral because of some altercation they had 40 years earlier. So you can't live that way. And so, but the Bible has been beat up and butchered so much in our modern days that most people don't ever want to really study to show themselves approved like the Bible tells them to, because they have no idea. They're too confused and too bewildered about anything. And so that's why you have to get into You have to get concordances like 100 years old. Don't get anything that lasts 20 years. You have to get Bibles that are way back so you can really know what the people are actually saying and what the Greeks are saying, what the Hebrews are saying, and so forth. Because the Bible's been butchered, literally butchered. You know, in the King James Version today, you used to have the Apocrypha in it when it first started, back in 1611. They took that out. You know, and I even seen demonic symbols on Bibles, even on the modern Geneva Bible. I've seen demonic symbols on it, 666 symbol on it. So you have to really study to show yourself approved and really get involved in knowing what the Bible is trying to tell you. And most people in the church don't. They just rather go to church and just let the preacher do the preaching.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah. That's right.
So, I mean, I just think that altercations need to be confronted with, need to be dealt with. And the more you hide it, because God doesn't forget. God's going to remember it. He could be 80 years down the road, he's going to remember it. He's going to call you on account of it. So now's the time to get it right with your brother and or sister, and basically you're supposed to get it right with your white brother and sister. That's what the Bible tells you.
Yeah.
Well, they're the only brother and sister you should have. They're the only brother and sister you should have.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Bill, who is that talking?
Isaiah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to say that to straight people out about what's happening to our race, you really have to go back to World War II. People think World War II was righteous and was necessary war. And, you know, that's where the communists really took over. And that's the reason our race is suffering. It's because the reason for integration and all this white guilt. Don't you think so? It all comes from World War II.
Well, I think you can't go back far enough, because why did we side with the communists in the first place?
Yeah. Money.
Okay, you know, then that question, and that's going to lead to another question and to another question. The only place you could really start is in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
there's people living still that remember World War II.
Well, right, and you could start there. But you could explain to them, if I wanted to start there, I would explain to them that we had problems in the first place, and that should be totally evident, because we sided with the Bolsheviks, who had killed 100 million Christians in the Soviet Union, or maybe 60 million, or maybe 30 million, but it's a large number of Christians they killed in the Soviet Union, and we sided with them, and then we turned half of Europe over to them.
Yeah.
I had a guy ask me would I rather have seen Hitler win the war. And I said, well, that's a preposterous question. You know, I can't.
Why? I don't think it's preposterous. I'd have told him flat out, yeah, you're damn right, I would have rather seen him win the war.
Well, I'm not going to say yes, because that's not really not what we're trying to understand. You know, war is not the answer either way.
Well, Hitler was a Christian, and he was standing up for a Christian nation, and we sided with the Jews to destroy it.
Well, yeah, that's right. But I'm not going to say that with a new person, a rookie, you know, somebody that's new to this.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's different methods, and mine is the sledgehammer.
I know. Just come out call an idiot. Right,
it didn't start with the Second World War. It started with the First.
Well, right. I mean, it's really hard to pick a point in history and start from there. It really is. It's a dilemma. And you said, the advantage is that World War II is a little fresher in most minds, but it's a little hard to pick a point in history outside of Genesis 3:6, you know?
Well, I think World War II is like an expansion of it, and that it's more revealing from World War II and World War I. We're in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all started from, but it's a slow process. World War I, World War II actually brought it out in the open, and more people don't really see it. I mean, it all started in the Garden of Eden, too, but it's a slow process, where World War II is obvious, and people just are too blind to see it. So
it's very hard to tell somebody that rooted for something all their life that they were wrong all that time.
I know.
And it's very hard to tell somebody that went and fought in World War II that they were actually, shills for the Jews and they fought on the wrong side. Because they really believed they did a great and noble thing.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
That whole generation, all they did was loot their grandchildren's piggy banks. That's all they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still looting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lublin's going on and on.
Well, we've been encouraged to believe the lies. When the First World War was announced, King George V of Britain, he said, "We can't go to war against the Germans. They are our cousins." And, of course, the media came in immediately and said, "Oh, he would say that because all the royal family are Germans." But that wasn't what the king meant. He knew that we were Israelites and the Germans were our brethren.
No.
But you see, the media is run by these people, and most people in the country have no idea who's pulling the strings. And it's so annoying, really, when you think the pride and the flower of our young men went to war, and the Germans as well, all the Israelite people had to fight one against the other to please the enemy, the real enemy. And unfortunately, people can't even get it as far ahead as this. They just don't like to, they don't like to believe that God's chosen people couldn't do that. They'll find out.
Well, didn't King George actually, didn't he resign after that? Didn't he get, you see, so much heat that he actually resigned from the throne or something like that? I think he did, didn't he?
No, he didn't resign.
I thought somebody resigned because they got so much flack from the Jews of it.
Resignation. But that was Edward, who would have been Edward VIII. He abdicated.
Yeah.
And I believe he knew more about the real truth than what will ever be admitted in the news media. Because whatever they tell us, we know that if they tell us it's black, we might think, it's more likely to be white. That's how I listen to the news, at any rate. If they tell me something, I think, no, that will be a whitewash. They're not telling us the truth. They never have. Because the Lord himself told us, "You're of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning.
You will
tell lies as well."
Yeah, Jews are liars. Yeah. Even if they tell the truth, they don't believe it. They lie all the time. Even in the truth, they lie. Now they're making up the reason why they killed 19 innocent men, women, and children on those boats that's trying to help the people, the Palestinians. And not only that, the Palestinians are the Jews' cousins. You figure that out. They're killing off their own people.
Well, they're all Canaanites. They're doing that
for
a greater... Yeah.
Yeah,
if you read the Protocols of Zion, they have no problem killing their own people.
To accomplish
their world dominion, world domination.
Yeah.
They see that as politically expedient.
They want them out of Israel. That's all it is. They just
look at the destruction.
Well, they don't really want them out of Israel. If all the Arabs disappeared, well, then the Jews wouldn't be able to suck our blood anymore because we wouldn't be sending them $100 billion or whatever it is in aid and arms and...
Yeah, right, yeah.
And soldiers every year or whatever it's costing us.
Mm.
They want to keep that going. They want to keep agitating. They don't want those people out. They could have wiped those people out 20 years ago. They could have wiped every last one of them out very easily 20 years ago. They don't want them out.
That's true.
They want to keep the agitation going so they could keep sucking our blood.
Right.
so they can keep their charade going.
That's all stage events. That's what it is.
If you read the protocols, that they don't care about killing, that they don't care about bar mitzvahs being blown up or this or that. That they don't care about arrows with pipe bombs. That they want those people to die. They want to keep that going because it's going to lead to their domination. It's led to their domination of us, and it's going to lead to their world domination. That's their plan. And they have world domination now, but they're perpetuating it through their consistently consistent false front that they're this persecuted people.
Bill, don't you think that since there's Muslims more in the European cities and all around the world now, they're having a little harder time keeping the lid on what they're doing to those Palestinians?
No, they're using this whole thing to destroy us. That's all they care about.
Yeah, that's it.
Why the hell do we have to love the Muslims over here and hate them over there?
Yeah.
Figure that one out. Hate them when they're in Mesopotamia or Iran or Palestine, but we got to love them when they're here?
Well, the Zionists, especially in the South here, they don't love the Muslims anywhere. They have more hate.
Well, of course not,
but
the Jews use the Muslims against us.
Yeah.
And the media, we have to bring these poor people into our country. We have to flood our nation with them. We have to give them respect. We have to respect their idols. But we have to hate them in Palestine, and we have to hate them in Iraq and Iran. Don't people see the dichotomy?
Don't you see that?
That's blatant hypocrisy.
Yeah.
We hate them so much, we're going to bring them all over here.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy. The Jews are playing this as a big game, and we're the harp. We're the harp, and the Jews are playing us.
It's a distraction technique, right? Distract the people from them, from the Jews, over to the so-called evil of the Muslims, the Arabs.
Well, right, and in the meantime, we're being flooded with Arabs. That's the dichotomy. Don't people see the hypocrisy in that?
Yeah.
And that's the neocons like Jerome Corsi and Joseph Farah.
Yeah, neocons, new con men. That's what they are.
Duocons.
And how many Muslims, how many of those Muslims are actually Jews?
Kenites. They all have that same Kenite blood. There's no doubt.
They're Mossad operatives. Go out and plant bombs and blow up things and blame it on the Al Qaeda.
Yeah,
and you know what Al Qaeda means, don't you?
Yeah,
I don't even know it. It means the toilet. Now what American hating Muslim is going to call his organization the toilet? You know, it's on stage. It means the toilet. If I were to say Raqqa al Qaeda, I'd be telling you I'm going to the toilet.
A week or two ago, they had this guy from Yemen, and they say he's an Al Qaeda leader, and he looks just like a Jew, a dark skinned Jew.
It's very possible.
I couldn't believe it, and they send his picture all around. I mean, he had the glasses, the hook nose, everything. Yeah, you know, he didn't look like Muhammad. That's for sure. And people just believe it. They eat it all up. They love it. The Sean Hannitys and Glenn Beck's just got these people eating right out of their hands.
The bottom line is that we're living a fantasy world. We live in a world that doesn't really exist, you know, at all.
It is. I say that all the time. It's a fantasy world. It really is. The Christians especially live in a fantasy.
They do.
That everybody's just like them now that they say they're saved. They're born again, so they're all trustworthy people now.
Yeah.
it's more than that, I'm afraid to say, a lot more. Anybody over there in Europe, do they have monuments to where, like, the Allies bombed Dresden and all that? Has anybody really been to Dresden?
Well, I was pretty close to Dresden. I was just in the last few days in Leipzig. And that's about some 100, that's whatever, some 160 to 70 miles distance, about. But myself, I haven't been in Dresden itself, no. It's too far away. Leipzig is a bit closer to by. but
cemeteries, all that, well, for the dead.
Oh, the place is littered with cemeteries. You can't move for cemeteries.
Yeah.
And they are kept in pristine condition.
Well,
yeah.
And
you would weep if you saw them.
Right.
In Germany, if you want to see monuments, you have to go to the cemetery. That's where a lot of their monuments are located at, believe it or not, for the soldiers and everything.
Well, yeah, we know they're not teaching the young people anything about the Third Reich.
Well, yeah, of course not.
So the only way they're going to know about it is if they go to a battlefield or a cemetery or or memorial and read the inscriptions.
Well, in Belgium, at Ypres, is the greatest war memorial, the Menem Gate. And every death is written, all the names, all the nations, are written all over that, and it is the most enormous monument.
That's right.
What battle was that?
Well, if they could number all the Germans, how come they can't number all the Jews?
There you go.
Yeah.
If they could name every German that died in battle, how come they can't name all the Jews?
No, this is well, I take your point, but no, this is not just Germans. This is Canadians, Americans, Brits, the lot.
All the ones. Yeah,
but there's no list of the Jews' names. I mean, you could sit up and make up 16.
Yeah.
Well, they all survived. Every one of them.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
But just like at the concentration Dachau, where they got a monument for the Canadians that died there, the Americans that died there, the Germans that died there, the English that died there, and the way in the back, they got a monument for the Jews that died there. And I'm thinking, oh, no, if it's a death camp for Jews, where do all these other people come from? And they're not even classified as Jews. So,
yeah.
That's
Dachau. But I've been to Dachau four times, and I never, ever saw, in fact, I was in the area that they said was a gas chamber, or it was a shower room. You can't gas somebody when they're taking showers, by the way. The steam and water dissipates the gas. It doesn't work. But I could never find any place where they had gas coming through the room. Nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. There was a lot of mistaken information about all these gas camps. I'm also convinced about it, that these gas camps, it's something really crazy, overdone in any way. But here in Germany, you may not even speak about it. Yeah.
I know. You get thrown in jail if you speak about it. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's so absurd. Yeah, it's absurd, but it is so. But
here there's so much self-censorship that nobody does speak about it.
And how many Jews right now are getting reparation money from Germany, and they weren't even around during World War II?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, they are saying the state of Israel, as today's times, over the last 50 years, that was paid by Germany. And that is what it is, in actual fact.
I mean, where's my reparation money for slavery? The white race is the first race to be enslaved in North America. And the Jews are kidnapping people from England and Scotland and Ireland,
right,
and Germany and Scandinavia, and to put them in slavery. They're in slavery years before the Black Civil War.
Yeah, even.
And they call them indentured servants.
But yet, a lot of people don't even know that sayings like honky and redneck and cracker were the disparaging words that blacks gave to white slaves. Because whites had to go out in the field all the time because it cost nothing to have a white slave, but it cost money to have a black slave because those blacks generally were in the mansion house. See? They really went out on the field unless they got paid. And the South was the first that paid labor. So if you see these blacks picking cotton out of the field, chances are they paid labor.
But there's another aspect to this as well. The white population, both here and across where you are, always had indentured servants, which really was nothing more than slavery.
Yeah.
I mean, here, if you were a domestic in one of the big houses, you worked 7 days a week.
Thank you.
And, you know, you had no alternative but to do as you were told, and you certainly had no freedom whatsoever. And that's certainly a form of slavery, and that's white slavery.
Well, you see, indentured servitude was just a nice name to give slaves, a white slave that worked out in the field. In fact, I even read where if a black slave was pregnant, that she'd have like a year off to get to take care of the baby, how the baby take care of it, and so forth. And if a white slave got pregnant, she had to hide it, stuff like this. And then I read where blacks could go into town on the weekends. White slaves couldn't.
I would like to see documentation for all of that. I mean, it's interesting, but I'd like to see documentation.
Well, Michael Hoffman's got his book, That Are White and They're Slaves, where he documents a lot of that stuff, too.
That's
and
by
also,
Hoffman, isn't it?
Michael Hoffman.
Yeah, I've got that book, and it is well documented.
Yeah, and he also mentions on the Internet, if you Google him, you can find information. He talks about how whites were not allowed to do certain things that blacks could. So, I mean, there's evidence, and, of course, they try to hide it. There's more evidence that he got in his book that historians have come up with, but then they just try to hide the sort of thing. They don't want anybody to know that whites were first slaves here. In fact, the whites are more likely, in fact, everybody on this conference call are more likely to be descendants of slaves than the blacks are. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's right. The Irish were indentured servants.
Oh, yeah.
They dug all the canals, South Carolina, all up and down.
Oh, sure. The United States of America was built on the backs of white slavery, not black slavery. It's an old fact.
Because the blacks wouldn't work.
Oh.
Right? They wouldn't work. They still won't.
Well, right. Their nature hasn't changed, that's for sure.
Well, they'll work in getting women pregnant. That's about it. I mean, who do you think coined the phrase, find them, feed them, ever forget them? Blacks did.
Say that again.
Who do you think coined the phrase, find them, feed them, F them, forget them? Blacks did. You know, I mean, and was it like 85% of your black kids are actually fatherless? You know, I mean, and then you have white people that take care of the black kids. They're not supposed to do that according to the Bible. They're not supposed to.
Well, they're not fatherless. Everybody's got a father. They just don't have a married couple.
But they're fatherless in the sense that the father of the kid isn't around. He just, you know, has sex with her, get her pregnant, and then does up and leaves.
Well, every
in other
girl
words,
I do
he's
it.
Not supporting his children. He's letting us support them.
Every Negro I knew in prison claimed to have himself 6, 8, 10, 12 kids. And I really believe that that's because every Negro woman gets pregnant and tells 6, 8, 10, 12 guys that they're the father, hoping one of them will take care of the kids.
And then
I heard up in the 20s. I heard 25, 30 children for some men. And they don't even know who they are. They don't know
their
names.
Just means he's probably been blamed for it 25 or 30 times, and that's what he counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even get married. I mean, you look in the newspaper. They don't even put their marriages in the newspaper because they don't even bother with it.
Yeah, just, you know, screw, get her pregnant, and dust up and leave.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like that episode in Family Guy, what Brian told Stewie, when Stewie asked Brian, well, what would happen if me and Olivia got married and it didn't work out, we had children, and what can I do? I mean, I just can't up and leave her. I mean, what kind of a man would I be if I left her? And Brian said, well, you'd be a black man.
Well, that's the same culture that for 100 years now, the Jew has been trying to push on whites, and we're almost there.
Yeah,
if we're not. That's how they want white women to act and white men to act, same way. That's why they agitated for no-fault divorce. That's why they have child protective services, to break families. That's their plan. That's in the protocols. That's in the Communist Manifesto. And if you listened last Sunday, it's, you know, Nesta Webster, she proves fully that the Jesuit Illuminati doctrine is the same plan that you see in the Communist Manifesto and in the Protocols of Zion.
Yeah, that's right. Another one you can get is Elizabeth Dillon.
Yeah, right, I have a few books on PDF.
That's a real good book, and she outlines what the Talmud actually says. And then
that's exactly what we've been confronting.
Yeah.
Bolshevism, communism, capitalism, that they're all Talmudic principles. They're all based on Talmudic principles. They are the economic and political and social reflections of the Talmud.
Right.
And the basic tenet of the religion of the Talmud is that the Jew is his own Messiah, the Jew is his own God, and the Jew is entitled to everything that everybody else has.
Yeah, that's how come a Jew can kill a Gentile. And there's nothing against them. They can go ahead and do it. It's by their law, they can do that. But if a Gentile kills a Jew in self-defense, a Gentile should be killed.
Well, it should be exactly the other way around, except that we are idiots.
Yeah.
For not seeing the Jew for what he is.
Right.
Well, the average Jew does not have a Talmud. They only know about it from the rabbi.
Well, that's
correct.
That's absolutely true.
It's a huge book. I don't even know if it's digital.
It's like 64 volumes. I think it's got a lot of volumes to it.
But if Christians would only believe the New Testament, then they would be protected from the Jew, average, Talmudic, or not.
Right.
Well, that would take the Christian to actually do some research and dive into it and get away from the New Testament.
Well, you don't have to
today.
Do much research. I'm going to read it right now. I'm going to read 2 John 9 to 11 because it's one of my favorite passages. Each who going forth and not abiding in the teaching of Christ has not God. He abiding in the teaching, he has also the Father and the Son.
If one comes
to you and does not bear this teaching, do not receive him into the house. Or the nation, and do not speak to welcome him, for he, speaking to welcome him, takes a share in his evil works.
That's right.
That's
2 John 9 to 11. If Christians would just believe their Bibles, they'd be protected from the wolves. Don't speak to the Jew. Don't deal with him. Don't speak to him. Don't welcome him. Don't socialize with him. Period.
Right.
People think that
Jew
follows the Torah.
Christians are supposed to follow Christ, and this is telling us not to respect anybody that doesn't, to ignore them, to put them out of your company, not to have anything to do with them.
Yep.
They say they follow the Torah,
which
the Old Testament.
But that don't matter, because the New Testament is telling us whoever doesn't follow Christ doesn't have the Father.
Right.
What they claim doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They think they're going to come around one of these days.
Well, the only mass conversion of Jews at the end of time at the last day, at the day of judgment, the Jews are all going to be converted to ashes.
That's right. Well, yeah, God's going to send his angels down. He's going to pull them up out of the world and boom, throw them into the lake of fire.
That's all they're going to be converted to is ashes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It certainly is.
That
message was in 2 John?
2 John 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
9 to 11. Yeah, that's right. Now remember. We better place it on the top of the computer.
But so many people in the church are so blind. You could read them that those verses from now until doomsday. It's just like they won't register. It won't affect them at all. They're like, oh well, so what? Because that's the general attitude in most churches today. C'est la vie. Who cares? You can't have that kind of an attitude. You know? But they'd rather just sit in their pews, pay the tithes. They think that's going to the right thing. I mean, I've even read where a lot of the tithe is actually going to communist-type organizations, too. You know, it's like your telephone bill, 10% goes to homeless organizations.
You don't have to let any pastor tell you that you have to give 10% to anybody. Give your 10% to God. You give it to who you think is doing the most for his message. And not even that. You give it to who you think needs it. You see a young white couple struggling, got a couple of young white kids, give money to them. Mm-hmm. You see a single white mother with a white child hanging from her hip, give money to her as long as you know she ain't going to go spend it on crack. You see a little white kid that needs a pair of shoes, go buy him a pair of shoes. That's the best thing you could do. That's the best thing you could do with your tithe.
The tithing is not necessarily money either. It's working for people, doing things for people also. You could tithe the church, but just by vacuuming up the sanctuary. That's
all. Right. And you shouldn't even count 10%. You should probably give away everything you feel you don't need that you could live without, and give it to your kinsmen, give it to your community. There's always somebody that's in worse shape than you.
Yeah.
I can't find anybody in need in America. They're so fat and lazy and worthless.
Well, you know, it is incredible how fat people are around here. I marvel every time I leave the house. I can't believe how many fat people I see.
Right.
And fat children as well.
It's everybody. It's whole fat families.
Yeah.
There's no hunger, that's for sure. There's not malnutrition.
I kid my mother all the time that I came up here to farm country and all the women look like cows. And I'm not exaggerating. They're all have. I mean, and it's the guys too, right? But I don't watch the guys. And they're all 300 pounds, 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, I knew one guy that's been in the hospital I worked at. He's like 450 pounds, but he had a thyroid condition. And he ate like a chicken. I mean,
half the people in New York don't have thyroid conditions.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's true. I mean, I've got a thyroid condition. I'm hypothyroid. But I could stand to lose about 20 pounds, I suppose.
Well, I weigh 250 pounds, but I only got a 38-inch waist, if that.
You probably work out. You probably do something. Because I went to the doctor just recently. He said my cholesterol's too high. I want to go on Zoloft or something, which I'm not going to do.
Go to a doctor. Well, I haven't been to a doctor since I'm in 30 years, I swear.
Well, I did that because I was on – I retired from the military, but I was in a gray area. And so I put myself down in case they could use me in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. And I thought maybe I could go because at least I could go there to see what's really happening. You know, that's the whole thing with the Civil Air Patrol, too. I can go into certain areas and see what's actually happening and then convey it to other people and convey it to, you know, the people on the conference call and so forth. Like a cadence that we used to sing in the military when I was Saudi Arabia and Germany and so forth, it went something like this. I went to the supermarket where all the ladies shop. I pulled out my machete and I began to chop. chop, 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 kill, kill. I went to the schoolyard where all the kids play. I pulled out my claymore mine and blew them all away. Chop, 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 kill, kill. And that was the cadence that we were singing in Saudi Arabia and Germany and Fort McMurray and other places. And I refused to sing it. You know, I'm not there to kill people, innocent men, women, and children. But I refused to sing it, and I got yelled at for it. So there's certain things that you can, but by being in the midst of the enemy, I guess, in a sense, you can relay what's actually going on. You know, so, but they, you know, they don't like you to come against anything and be right upon anything either. So, but a lot of American soldiers are being taught to kill, 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 and now they're coming around, which is a good thing, and speaking out against what we're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a shame.
Well, you know, for 100 years, or probably for about 150 years, and until after World War II, the Rothschilds used the flower of Britain to fight all of its wars.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They pretty much exhausted that. I mean, even in World Wars I and II, that they had to bring in a lot of alien armies. Like the Pakistanis and, you know, the Indians to fight alongside the English. Yeah, you know, a lot of units from the aliens who were subjected in the empire were actually brought in to fight alongside the English. So, but after World War I and especially after World War II, the Rothschilds no longer really used the English as their primary policemen for their world empire, they've used the Americans.
Yeah,
you know, and the English are still being used, but in a secondary position. It's mostly our
yeah.
armed forces. And now we have followed the same pattern, and to a great degree, where now most of our army is no longer made up of whites, but it's made up of Negroes and Hispanics.
Right. That's right, it's true.
Yeah, you know, and the Marines are still mostly white, but that they're more and more Hispanic all the time.
Yeah.
The Navy is more and more Negro all the time. And so we've gone the same way where we've actually, you know, been slaughtered, the flower of our youth in the 40s and in the 50s and Korea and in the 60s in Vietnam has been slaughtered in Rothschild wars. And we're following the same pattern, basically, that our English brethren did.
And now they're putting women on submarine duty in the Navy. They got three of them going on submarine duty, which is could be a mistake.
Well, my brother's on a command master chief in the Navy, and he hated it when they put women on ships. And he said at night you can't even walk around a ship. Everywhere you go, it's a lover's lane.
Yeah.
And all the women on the ships were turning up pregnant.
Well, they're saying it's like within 3 months, a third of the women on ships are going to be pregnant, something like that. Within 3 months. I mean, I worked out in the field. I worked out in, you know, simulated firefights and other things on the field. And I'm telling you, when the firefight hits, the woman's gone. She's gone, boy. She's running for the hills. And I'm looking back and saying, hey, where are you going? The fight's over here. So I'm in a foxhole up the water, up to my chest, to find my weapon, nobody around me to protect me or help me or nothing. And she's gone.
Well, it's a reproach to men that women are even in combat roles.
That's right.
It's a reproach to men that women are in officer positions in our service. It's a reproach to men that women are in political posts.
Yeah, if we were to go by the Bible,
I mean, Isaiah chapter 34, I think. Mentions it or I forget exactly where I'm
going.
If we were actually going by God's laws, like so many people in the church think, we wouldn't have women or black or Hispanic aldermen, congressmen, senators, running for vice president.
But men in this country have abdicated their responsibility so that they could go watch Jew movies and sporting events and worship Negroes running around the field with a ball.
Yeah.
So we deserve our punishment, right?
Does your average churchgoer goes to church Sunday morning and spends the rest of the day worshiping some Negro running up and down the field with the ball?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. No African nation's ever won the gold medal. And that's something that all your gold medal winners have been from white nations. So. And when, what's his name in 1936 Olympics? Jesse Owens, when he, won the gold medal, you know, we're told that Hitler walked out of the stadium. Actually, Hitler walked up to Jesse Owens, shook his hand.
Yeah, well, that's all lies, and they don't like to play those Rice and Thal movies here because then people might learn the truth.
Yeah. And Jesse Owens actually had a picture of him shaking hands with Hitler, and he'd go around telling people, or showing it to people, saying, this was Adolf Hitler. I met Adolf Hitler and so forth. And he shook my hand.
Yeah, it was photoshopped. It was photoshopped.
See.
I'd like to see that big photo. I think it's send that out.
But Adolf Hitler shook Jesse Owens' hand.
Well, he played the gentleman. He did the only thing he really could do under the circumstances was play the gentleman. Yeah, you know what's really telling is that the Africans don't even win the javelin toss.
They don't.
They're not even world class spear chuckers.
No.
How about chicken bone chuckers?
If it wasn't for a white race, it would still be spear chuckers. But that's true. They never won a gold medal.
In the Summer Olympics?
I don't know. I can't speak for that. I can't speak for that.
Well, in the
I thought the Kenyans did actually, the long distance runners, I thought they won a gold.
Yeah, I thought they had a few marathon runs, too, but I don't really remember.
But I'm not into sports, so.
Neither am I, but I'm just saying that as a country as a whole, they've won none or very few gold medals.
Certainly very few, yeah.
Of course, they had a bobsled team from Jamaica. Hear about that one?
Yeah.
A black bobsled team.
Well, that's just a total waste of money. That's some Jew throwing his money away or throwing our money away, I should say.
Yeah. Bobsled team from Jamaica. Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
So what else is going on in Europe? When's this event Chris is talking about in June? That's this month, right?
Yep, it is.
I think June will have to answer that. I can't remember the date.
No, it's in July.
Okay.
Yes. I think we're collecting about the 22nd of July. The Dutch ladies are coming on that day.
Yeah, that's right.
We're looking forward to the fellowship.
Okay, well, that's a start.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I still have to get my planning in correct order because the thing which I would like to have is not going to land in Gatwick. I have to go to Heathrow, and that's just the wrong place to land.
Heathrow,
but it's not a problem. You can get the. It's a strange thing, but from Munich here, I should like to fly over straight to Gatwick. That's the best way to do. But you can't have. You can order a plane then, but you need to have a credit card. You can go to the shop here, and they can arrange you all the flights, but they can't arrange it with the without a credit card. I said, now this is crazy. It's the first time I heard about it. Yeah, you can't fly to Gatwick. Only you need to have a credit card. Absurd. But so I have to get a credit card for.
You need to be coming to Gatwick, Matthew, in order to meet up with Chris.
Right, that's what it is.
Because we have a direct line into our area from Gatwick, you know, a direct train link from the airport.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. And if all's going well, then I'll have in the afternoon tomorrow then I'll be here at the downtown to get it arranged, because I ordered, meanwhile, a credit card to get it running.
Yeah. Bill G in the chat wants
but
to
I'll
know
be
what,
there anyway.
Bill G in the chat wants to know what you think about the Greek crisis.
The Greek crisis
and the riots in Greece.
Whose toes did the Greeks step on? You know, it had to have been something that they actually were trying to do something good for their people, and the Jews said, oh, can't do that. You know, sort of like what's happening in Ireland and other places. Oh, can't do that. You know, we are your bosses.
That's kind of a difficult thing to explain, isn't it? The Greek riots. I can't figure out whether they're rioting because they want more debt or they're rioting because they stopped the debt.
No, they're rioting because their industries are being privatized and sold off, in other words, in order to pay the debts. And they can see massive, massive unemployment ahead.
Right.
And that's what the trade unions are very concerned about.
No.
But I mean, I think the British debt situation is worse than the Greek situation.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
And the United States isn't too good either.
Right.
Well, we're giving it all to the foreigners, to the strangers, and that's one thing that the Bible just can tell us never to do.
The foreigners and the strangers. I mean, it might be reaching a few of the Jewish. The Jewish bankers in those countries, but it's not really going into the hands of any aliens that on the level that we might think it is.
No.
What they have is they're being put in power, like in the United States here. They're being put in power, like with Obama, and you got a lot of Jews and a lot of mixed race and so forth that are in high positions. You got black aldermen all over the place, and that's one problem we have. And most corrupt people in the world are even blacks and Hispanics. And they don't know by anybody's laws but their own.
I wanted to ask about BP, British Petroleum. Now, isn't that owned by the Queen, the royal family?
Oh, no.
BP?
Mm-hmm. Could you repeat that? I didn't quite hear.
Doesn't the Queen, the royal family, own BP, British Petroleum?
I think you're confusing BP and Royal Dutch Shell.
That's
right.
It's Royal Dutch Shell. Royal Dutch Shell, the royal families in England and in the Netherlands have a great interest in. But they're still public companies, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh. I wouldn't doubt if the noble class didn't have a lot of stock in BP, but they're not owned by the oil.
That's sure. Yeah.
I just think BP did something wrong. They reneged on something, or they stepped on somebody's toes, and that's the problem they have with the thing. Because I even read where they could have stopped up that oil leak within 8 hours after it started, because there was somebody in the U.K., that invented a way to stop up the oil leak, even using Kuwait, and was very successful. But they wouldn't even use this item, so now it's running all over the place. It's kind of interesting.
They could
stop it up within 8 hours or so after it started. It's all staged. You know, it's just like Jesse Ventura says, follow the money. It's all based on money.
Yeah.
People die.
Well, perhaps Katrina was just a dummy run for what they want to do now. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you get all these millions of Mexicans illegals coming into this country, and Bush just sits on his hands, doesn't do a thing about it. And then in 2003, the Border Patrol saw the Chinese military 20 miles north of the Mexican United States border conducting war exercises. They're conducting exercises on American soil.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got Chinese troops in Mexico as well as Panama. We have a Chinese base in San Diego, California. And I was even in my National Guard unit. There was one guy that was a Marine from like 94 to 97, and he said they did a mock beachhead in Southern California, and they established a beachhead, started going inland. They were met by Chinese troops that were banishing AK-47s. They were kicked off their own beach by Chinese troops. So that should tell you something, you know. Yeah. And I've seen German troops in Fort McCoy, and I've jumped with French Foreign Legion and German sorry, and Nigerian and so forth. They always come to our country. It's supposed to be a British, it's actually supposed to be a British base in Florida they're making, as well as a German base in Harlem, New Mexico. So.
Well, it should, you know, we should never have let Chinese troops into this hemisphere, but again, it goes along with the Wall Street capitalist Jewish London city bankers' agenda. I mean, it's an agenda to destroy our race in a manner in a manner in which most of us don't know what's going on. And, and they've been very adept at that because they control the media.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they take one step forward and two steps back.
And the best way to defeat somebody is to convince them that there is no enemy. And we even have people in identity preaching that there is no Satan. There is no enemy. Look at all these clowns out west, this Pete Peters and Dave Barley and all these other idiots.
Yeah. Right.
And they managed to pull away a great number of the sheep. Ted Whelan.
Yeah.
Ted Whelan, yeah.
Yeah,
you can't win if you don't realize you're at war.
Yeah, Ted Williams got that book out called Eve, Did She or Didn't She?
I challenged him to a debate. He wouldn't even answer my email. He's a puke.
Yeah, he won't. just a lot. Like a lot. If you ever go on the internet and you get on the sites of some of these people and they say such garbage, but you can't confront them with them. You can't debate them because there's no way to contact them.
COINTELPRO. I got Ted Whelan's email. I should post it publicly. I think that might
be. Yeah.
You should do that. Call him out.
Yeah.
Well, I have called him out in emails, and he won't even answer me. And other people have been on the distribution list, but he won't answer me.
Yeah.
It's just like David J. Smith. David J. Smith actually talks about the Israel identity. He actually talks about Israel being the white Europeans, Anglo-Saxons, and so forth. But I took a correspondence course out of a church in Arkansas, and they told me that they sent information to David J. Smith and agreeing with what he had to say. He sent it back to them because he didn't want anybody to know that he actually preached the Christian identity. And he was on the
AM radio a few years ago, and he got taken off.
I remember when he was on AM radio. I listened to him a few times.
Yeah.
And he sounded like, you know, British Israel, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, the Herbert W. Armstrong school of Christian identity, if you want to call it that. You can't quite call it that, right? He was paying his own way on AM radio, from what I understand. You know, buying the time to broadcast. And he did get taken off. That's right. I remember he disappeared. Yeah. I never knew why. Because he used to be on two different AM radio stations.
Because he named the Jews. Pointing them out.
Yeah.
If you
from where I was, I couldn't do any research, and I just knew he disappeared, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I was in prison. I couldn't just hop on the internet and figure out why David J. Smith disappeared.
Yeah, I used to get a lot of stuff too, and a lot of stuff is actually true, and that they says, but you know, it's like he won't come forward and really confront those that aren't preaching the truth. You know, like this. The school, he said all this stuff back. He didn't want to be aligned with the Christian identity, but yet he preached it. You know, you got to be one or the other. Either you're going to believe, either you're going to be for Jesus Christ or you're going to be against Jesus Christ. One of the two.
Well, there's a lot of people that shun the label. But
yeah.
To me, I'm not going to shun the label. Just because there's some idiots that call themselves Christian identity doesn't mean I'm going to shun the label.
That's right.
And to me, what Christian identity really means is that we are Christians who identify the parties of the Bible.
Right. Right.
New Testament and Old. That's what it means to me.
You know, what is it about the white mentality? Whenever something comes into your territory and begins to take over, instead of standing and fighting, they always want to run away.
Right.
If somebody bad comes into your group and starts calling itself by your name, whatever your name is,
you just toss it out on its ass.
Then you fight them. You get rid of them. You don't go, oh, well, I'll change my name because I'm not like him. Wrong. You kick them out. People flood into your house and say, I want your house. Don't say, well, I'll get up and leave. You kick them out. What is it about white people?
Well, they're just too good-natured.
Yeah.
And too good-natured means stupidity.
Well, I would say they're just pushovers.
Yeah. It's just like the definition of nice means stupid. In those medieval times, the definition of nice actually means stupid and foolish. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
White people get too nice.
Yeah.
They're just pushovers. You're right, Pilgrim.
That's right. They're pushovers. Well, now, there is a country in South America, I think it might be Chile, where a man can actually walk into your house and say, I like this house. I think I want it. And you have to get out because that's a law. There's a country in South America that's like that. So it's probably coming to this country, too. I mean, I don't know. This is so dumbed down. White people are so dumbed down now. They just don't want to know the truth or they're afraid of knowing the truth. Or maybe they're afraid to actually have to stand up for themselves or be who God actually created them to be. Maybe that's what it is. They're so dumbed down. I mean, I don't even go to church anymore. You know.
Why would you go in the first place?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. What's the church? I mean, the people are the church.
We had. Yeah.
Oh, we got a church right here.
No, I
we got
don't.
Right,
no.
That's it.
What's a church?
Yeah.
The people of the church. That
yeah.
word is ecclesia. It's assembly.
Yeah.
It refers to the people.
Yeah.
It does not refer to a building.
Or a congregation or a denomination or anything.
It's the people.
Right.
Yeah.
We the people.
Yeah,
whether
we
or not
got
they happen to be assembled. The ecclesia is the ecclesia, whether or not they're assembled. I can prove that from Acts.
Yeah. Because we're having church right now, basically.
Right.
Why would
you
go to a brick building that some Negro could walk in and ally himself with you and say, "Oh, I'm like you. I'm an Episcopalian too."
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you're compromising yourself?
Yeah. Well, Pete Peters had that black guy singing in the church one time.
Yeah, well,
he's
a serial Negro lover. He's a serial Negro embracer. He's not a Christian.
Oh, don't start that. Oh, please don't start that. Wrong subject. No.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Benny Hinn is a Jew. John Hagee's probably a Jew.
Yeah, but none of them could ever be the church.
No, they couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't think a Jew could ever get saved. I always wondered about that because there seems to be some Jews that seem to be nice. Or some
How
Jews
could a
that,
Jew get saved?
Yeah, I know. In order to be saved, you got to get out of Judaism.
How could anybody but a white Adamic Israelite get saved? Saved from what?
Yeah,
they've got a satanic bloodline.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't save
the
devil.
That's the danger.
I think a lot has got to do with DNA, too.
Everything has to do with DNA.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's really a shame, though.
This DNA is primary.
Yeah, I
think the way people act, the way people think and so forth, it's like I told Pastor Eli, if you're going to get an animal of any kind, a dog or cat, get a dog or cat from Europe, because they're just like the people of Europe. They're kind, they're decent, they're generous, they're thoughtful, you know, they're very believable. They're not nice people. I won't say nice because nice means stupid or foolish. But the animals are going to be just like the people of Europe. Where in Africa, you get animals there. I mean, in Africa, they eat dogs and cats. In Asia, they eat dogs and cats. The dogs and cats know it. And they act accordingly. But if you want a decent animal, go to Europe because they're going to be just like the people who are decent. Plain and simple.
Yes.
Why? There are Jews and Muslims in Europe, too.
I know, there are. But I don't know what Muslims do with cats and dogs. When I was in Saudi Arabia, I didn't even see a cat or dog in
they probably ate them all.
They don't allow dogs in Arab nations. They're unclean.
Yeah.
Correct.
If you walk a dog there, they'll come and pick you up immediately, you and the dog.
Yeah.
No dogs.
Very possible. I never even saw a cemetery in Saudi Arabia. All the 6 months that I was there. Well, I mean, what are they doing? They must cremate all the people. I don't know. Not a cemetery around.
I know the Indians do. They burn them outdoors in big fires.
Yeah, but the Indians
also
keep their dead relatives in the house for like a year. I was reading where one family kept the dead grandmother in the house like 20 years. Yeah, they do that, and they'll feed them. They still feed them food. I don't know how they do that, but that's part of the religious thing. Yeah. I told some people that they said, oh, that's not true. They thought I was lying. And no, it isn't true. Supposedly, there's such thing as dead hotels. You keep the person that died in the hotel, and they feed them oranges and fruit and so forth. And then after about a year or so, they bury them. So I don't know.
Oh, no.
But they do that in the Ganges River. They cremate them right there, and I guess they actually throw their ashes in the Ganges River, which is supposed to be the holiest river in the world. So they say.
Right.
And then
Why would you believe that propaganda? The Ganges River is the holy. To what, a Hindu that never saw any other river?
Well, that's in their belief system. That's what they say.
They're just freaks. They're just,
I know.
Look at them. They live in filth and squalor.
Well, yeah.
How could we esteem their religion if they don't esteem themselves? I mean, they can't pick themselves up out of the sewer.
Well, yeah. They got so many cows. For every person in India, they got like 17 cows.
Yeah,
and they're
starving to death.
Yeah, if they would kill the cows, they wouldn't have a starvation problem.
Well, it just shows you they're idiots and nothing they ever say should be esteemed.
Right. That's true. But I was watching a video on this about what they do with the cremation and so forth. It was interesting. But they're saying that to them, the Ganges River is the holiest place on earth. So,
of course, they do everything. We've got one running for governor here in South Carolina, India.
Really? Great. That's all we need.
Yeah, a woman, too.
Isn't it kind of interesting that all your smart people come from China, India?
Who says they're smart?
Because that's
why do you fall for that trick?
They're
not smart, they're idiots. What did they ever invent?
Nothing.
What did they ever? They picked up our books and learned how to read our books. And we don't read them because we're watching television. So we think they're smart and they're idiots.
Yeah.
They never invented a damn thing.
They have big families and
they
have family businesses and stuff like that. That's all.
Yeah, their mums
are not
smart.
They're sly like serpents, but they're not smart one bit.
Yeah.
If they were smart, they would have invented something.
Well, we're told the Chinese invented gunpowder.
They haven't invented a damn thing. That was white people went to China and found some found the
white people that invented
gunpowder.
Yeah. I mean, George Washington Carver never invented anything with peanut butter either. He got that from white people.
They never invented a damn thing. Stop falling for those tricks. They never invented anything. Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
I understand they were told that constantly.
I don't fall for those tricks. I think they're all idiots.
Propaganda. It's all false propaganda about the Chinese. Because you go to some of these medical schools, all smart people are Chinese or Indian or something like that.
Yeah. They're all morons. I wouldn't let one of them give me an aspirin. I looked at the Pakistani doctor in prison, and I told him right to his face, I said, I wouldn't let you give me an aspirin.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't give you an aspirin. He probably wouldn't know what he gave you.
He didn't know what to say. I'd rather hang myself.
Yeah. And I wouldn't
go to Jewish doctor either. They're filthy pigs that went to school for $10 a month in their country to come over here and loot and pillage ours. And we fall for it.
Yeah.
That's true.
That they went to some Jew-run diploma mill in Bangladesh to come over here and loot and pillage our country. They even have two separate tests for doctors, one for immigrants and one for natives.
Yeah.
It's just like Einstein. When Einstein went to engineering school, he couldn't even pass a basic engineering test. He was so stupid.
Yeah. Einstein was bald. He was a plagiarist.
Yeah.
There's some good articles on that. That's one way of getting people to think about the Jewish lie. If you get them question Einstein.
His E equal MC squared came from an Irish scientist that
that's right.
Came
out
the same thing
in
1880.
Too.
Yeah, an Irish scientist. It doesn't do with Einstein.
It's found not even to be a true equation anymore.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. It's worn out by time.
Well, the speed of light is not a constant.
They are even. Yeah. But the Hungarian wife of Einstein, she was more clever than he was. For she had the whole theory came from her. And they signed it up together. And in the end, he was the one who was left over by signing up for the whole story. It was a real treatment. The Hungarian wife was more clever.
Why is that?
I don't know what
shoes,
kind
man.
Of our origins. Yeah.
Einstein couldn't even tie his own shoes. He was just stupid. He was anti-God, anti-Jesus Christ. He hated the white people.
He was anti-all.
Obama hates white people. His wife even said so in a speech he gave in a church in Chicago. And they went out of the way to try to confiscate that video, too. I think it's still found on the internet. But, yeah, she hates white people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obama's nothing but a puppet. He's just got state of the line. And now some Jews are starting to get really upset with him, so he's going to try to get more and more closer to them because he's got a gun up to his head. And any time the Jews will say, yep, that's it. Well, let Biden take over for you. He's more of a Jew lover. But it was a white race that started the Chinese dynasty in the first place. It started the Chinese civilization. I mean, the Chinese records even say that. So. Yeah, was it Tao was the one that actually started, started a long time ago, the beginning of the Chinese civilization, and the Chinese records have him as a white man with a beard, like a Noah type.
I don't believe that anybody ever started Chinese civilization, because they've never really had one.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying that they were spear chuckers. until maybe the white race came along.
They don't have one now. What they have now is they have a few Jew bankers telling them what to do.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, that's it.
They build factory farms and oppress their own people. So how could that be? That doesn't qualify as a civilization.
Well, they had ships, but they never could go anywhere with them.
Well, I'm just saying that it was a start. Like Fu He was a white man too, that actually worked towards civilization. And what the cannibals do that you're trying to civilize, you know, they make it all uncivilized. That's what happened with Haiti. That's happened to South Africa after they get away with apartheid. It turns totally uncivilized, you know. And in other parts of Africa too. I mean, you don't want to go to Tanzania or Mozambique if you're white. Even if you're black, you don't want to.
Well, why would you distinguish the Negro from the wild animal?
Well, that's what they're
trying. Another mistake we make.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to distinguish him as so benevolent and so.
We may as well have taken a bunch of lions and tigers and orangutans and baboons out of the jungle and put them into our cities.
Well, it's just like years ago. I guess years ago there was an incident that occurred in South Africa. It was kind of interesting. Evidently in the African countries, men will kidnap girls 10 to 14 years of age, rape them, and force them to marry them. And this one incident is where a couple of men were trying to kidnap a girl, and she was fighting them. And out of the forest, three she-lions came out and attacked them. One of the she-lions grabbed the girl's arm and pulled her to safety and sat with her. When the police were called, the police showed up to where the girl was. She was sitting along the side of the road. There was a she-lion on her left, a she-lion on her right, and a she-lion behind her. And the cops that left the squad car were white. And they got out of the car, or the squad car, walked towards her. And when the lions saw them, they got up and went into the jungle. And it's suspected that if the cops were black, the lions probably would attack the cops. But that actually happened in South Africa about 5 or 6 years ago, I think it was. That was kind of interesting. So even the animals know the difference.
Yeah.
Well, I know dogs do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you ever see a black cop, in a month or two, they're always in some kind of trouble. They're suspended, they'll break the law themselves.
No doubt.
They always
the aftermath of Katrina, a classic example, a reporter went to a supermarket, or not, well, like a mall area, and into one of the big stores, and he was talking to a black female cop, and they asked her what she was doing there. She said, well, we're protecting his store from looters. And as she was saying that, you see these black guys coming into the store, grabbing TVs and radios and walking out with them. I mean, hordes of them. And the reporter said, well, now, wait a minute. Look at these people here. They're grabbing everything out of the store and taking off with them. You know, they're not really protecting anything. She said, yes, we are. I said, why? You can't say that. She said, well, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be taking this stuff. She said, I'm not. And then her partner shows up with one of those shopping carts filled with items.
Well, and this is supposed to be a Euro call. I don't hear the Breton saying a whole lot or Matthew.
Well, we were listening.
We wore them all out.
Yes. Yeah. 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 We're listening and reading at the same time.
Well, what's going on in
Bill, can I ask you a question? Which, it doesn't follow on from what we've been talking about, but it was something you mentioned as an aside in one of the calls on Monday or Tuesday this week, one of the either Christo Guinea Forum call or the Christo Laos. And you mentioned something about mushrooms. And that it may possibly be all right to eat them, but there was a bit of a question mark. And
A lot of people condemn eating mushrooms.
Right. Well, that's what I've been brought up to understand. So do tell me.
Well, I just want to know why. Why condemn eating mushrooms? I mean, a lot of mushrooms are obviously
no good.
Well, because
they're fungus.
But yeast is a fungus, too, and we consume yeast.
Yeah.
We eat that in bread, yes.
Yeast is a fungus. It's in our bread. It's in our beer. It's in our wine. Without yeast,
yes,
we wouldn't have fermentation.
That's right.
I mean, God must have known about yeast and the fermentation process, and he approves drinking wine.
Do you think we've got confused between that and mold?
Well, I think that there could be good funguses and bad funguses, and it's obvious that they're bad ones because they're poison mushrooms. I wouldn't condemn anybody eating mushrooms because it's not spelled out in the book, and because mushrooms are basically a fungus, but so is yeast a fungus.
Is my face going to be red now?
Except in unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, there's no yeast.
There's yeast. Yeah, but in leavened bread, there's yeast, and they ate leavened bread for 51 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't eat leavened bread, what's the point of having a feast on leavened bread?
That's right.
And they drank wine, and they drank beer. And wine and beer contain yeasts, and yeasts are a fungus.
What about blue cheese, then?
Well, you know, that's a mold, and I mean, you might, you know, a mold falls into the plant family, basically. I don't see how it doesn't, and I really wouldn't eat it myself. I think it's disgusting, but I wouldn't condemn it. I wouldn't condemn it.
Right. Oh, this is an eye-opener.
Yeah, you know, I can't condemn eating mushrooms, and I'm at odds with some people over that, but I want them to show me what's wrong with fungus. Because the yeast is a fungus, and the Bible puts a stamp of approval on yeast.
Every plant bearing seed, and a fungus doesn't bear seed, bears spores.
Well, you're talking about plants there. You're not talking about yeast. You're talking about plants.
Yeah, because a mushroom isn't really considered
a plant.
All right,
every plant bearing seed is good for food, so nothing else is good for food? Then you better stop eating meat. Yeah, you know what I mean? Just because every plant-bearing seed is good for food doesn't mean that there aren't other foods. In other words, these people are taking a positive statement and turning it into a negative one when there's no negative statement there.
Yeah,
you could be right. Yeah.
But I think one thing is that mushrooms don't really seem to have any real nutritious value to them.
That's right.
Well, some of them do.
And I mean, in France, they use pigs to hunt mushrooms. But I do not find a scriptural condemnation of eating mushrooms, and I would challenge anyone to find it.
There isn't. But pork is something different.
Pork is explicitly condemned.
Yeah, that's definitely. You're not supposed to eat Fido and Kitty either. You know, and then as I said, a lot of your black nations and Asian nations do.
But all those things are explicitly condemned. But yeast is a fungus, and yeast is obviously approved for consumption.
Yeah,
and it's probably got medicinal purposes to it too.
I'm sure a lot of those mushrooms probably have medicinal purposes to them. We just don't know them because we don't study them because we let the Jews run our pharmacology.
Yeah.
In fact, we have pharmacology. We shouldn't even have pharmacology. We shouldn't even be a science. What we should have is a study of plants and their relationship to various, you know, as elixirs for curing various diseases. And that's only because they're plants that they're put here for a reason. And I'm sure that probably every disease or every symptom probably has a correspondent in a natural world that would help alleviate that disease and that symptom. And most of our diseases are probably because we eat shit in the first place. We don't have a balanced diet. Well, we don't have a natural diet. We raise our food artificial circumstances. Then we load it with crap.
And we go to McDonald's and Burger King. And
well, that's my point.
Like that. I mean, good Lord. I'm not getting nothing. Yeah. That's it. I'm telling you, there's so much crap out of food. You don't even know where to go anymore. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, I got myself some oatmeal. That's good for you.
Yeah.
But death of the Jews might kill off the white race. They don't want to necessarily kill off the white race. What they want to do, they want to hybridize everything.
Thank you.
Mix everything up. That's what they want to do. So
that's the same as destroying the white race, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a form of genocide. You know, mixing the race is a form of genocide. And, yeah, I'm not going to be mixing my seed with a Jewess or a Asian or a Mexican. Ain't happening. You know, I'm not going to have a bunch of hybrid mixed kids.
Well, I hate to cut this short, but it's 5 o'clock and I got another program in 3 hours, so I need some time to go for stuff like that and hygiene and all that stuff. And
Well, Bill, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We do appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you, and I hope to see you here on the 17th.
The 17th. Okay. 17th.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go to Camp Atterbury for the Civil Air Patrol. So if you see a red, white, and blue plane flying around up in the sky, I'll probably be in it. So.
Okay, this is the Christian Eagle Forum calling, and thank you, everybody, and praise y'all.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, blessing.
Thank you.
And everybody else.